This week's episode of Barf will not be seen and will return next week. Stay tuned as WSWN brings you the following live presentation of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The Shining Wizards Podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. Opinions expressed by the host and guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the podcast or its affiliates. Content may include adult language or themes and is not suitable for all audiences. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
Sorry for those looking for Barf tonight, but they said no, no, no. So we can bring you episode 791 of the Shining Wizards podcast. Don't worry, HK isn't a Shining Wizard release. He's off in Mexico wrestling as El Grande Amenjedo. There we go. Tonight, 7:30, we got one of Jelly Roll's training partners, Murphy Con. Matt, how do you say his name?
Lord Murphy Costigan. Can't do that while I'm drinking, Brenda.
All right, all that and more with some wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Brundo.
Double T.
Tony.
Dude. Brother.
Holy shit. Man.
Wow, that was so. You write this down, you said, Brenda.
I do write this down, but I can't read also, in addition to talk.
And also, like, we had like a whole like 10-minute conversation before the show started. Yeah,
I don't think you said his name. Yeah. I'm an idiot. The second before I came up, I was like, oh, I gotta ask Matt how to pronounce his last name so I could fuck it up in the intro.
Oh, good God.
Well, mission accomplished.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Oh, how you guys doing tonight?
Tired, but better. I'm in a good mood. Me and my boys chilling out, talking some wrestling. Got a good guest tonight. Lots of happenings.
El Amenjedo.
Oh God, I'm so mad I screwed that up. El Grande Amenjedo.
Yeah, Kevin's in Mexico, so he's not here tonight.
And we don't mean he's sleeping in the basement of a Rancho Loco. He's actually in Mexico.
Yeah. Sans kidney.
His third home. Was that what he says?
Yes.
Yes. You think he watches AAA while he's down there? Probably not, right?
No. What?
No. Nah. They're only on Saturdays. So.
Yeah, and unless there's a QR code for him to scan to be able to watch it. It's a lost cause.
Oh, boy.
But everyone's good tonight.
Yeah, man.
Definitely good. How about you, Matt? How are you tonight?
I'm fucking groovy, man. I'm feeling great. It's a pretty nice day out.
Yeah, full of pancakes.
Wrestling.
Are you sure you're still full of pancakes?
I only had two pancakes.
Wait. So what else did you have at the IHOP?
I got the combo, like the everything combo. I got two eggs, two pancakes.
2x2x2, yeah.
Two eggs, two pancakes, one piece of French toast, two pieces of bacon, two pieces of sausage, and I ordered an order of hash browns and biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, two of everything wasn't enough, Brundo.
I was hungry, man. Look, my wife is home tonight, so she might bombard. She might punch me in the nuts like Molly.
Oh, does. All right. I got to get this one.
All right, but I love my wife. But my wife is not an early riser. She likes to sleep. She takes her time getting out of the bed. I'm up. Once I get up, like, I'm awake. So I was up at, like, I don't know, 9:30. I mean, she was up already because the cat had woke her up. But, like, once I get out of bed and get moving, like, my day is started. So I got up, I brushed my teeth. I was like, oh, do you want a bagel? She was like, no, we'll go to IHOP. I was like, okay. She's like, just make me a coffee in like 20 minutes and then, you know, whatever. I was like, okay, I'll watch the next episode of the Hulk Hogan documentary. No rush, take your time. You know, it's her day off. I don't want to rush her out of the house. I made her a coffee and, you know, she takes her time. And I'm used to that. So I watched two episodes of the Hulk Hogan documentary. And by the time she came downstairs, it was 1 o'clock. And I'm a big guy. I was hungry. So we went to IHOP. I was ready to fucking eat.
He got a 2x2x2 because he thought he was going to get double stuff.
No, I didn't. It wasn't a 2x2x2 either. I don't know what it was. It was good, though. It was good. But then I almost shit my pants. So
almost isn't good enough, but yeah, I'm still okay.
Almost is great. It's perfect. It's what I want.
Yeah, it's been like 16 months for me. I made it through 2025 without incident, so I'm feeling good. I'm on a nice streak.
Looks like having fun with Miss Brianna. She loves IHOP. This guy wants to know, where's Ryan Magoo?
Yeah.
Oh, look at this, baby. Come on, come up, you shithead. There he is. Double T and Brundle are the best duo ever. Eat a shit.
All right, well, Tony. See you later.
Eat a shit, Tony. I mentioned it in the pre-show. Brundle didn't get to watch it. But, Tony, you watched the Hulkster documentary.
Fuck yeah, dude. I'll tell you what, man. Four hours of entertainment and it didn't seem like a chore. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed the entire thing. And there's enough in there that you can learn about Hogan that I don't think like a lot of people knew about before. Probably the saddest thing is like, I didn't know about his, hi Rhiannon.
See, my wife just came in here and pretended to hit me. That's love. that's great.
Is he bent over in the chair?
Yeah, she.
Oh, there he is.
Socked him.
Oh man!
I actually didn't gonna do it, but she went like. She freaked me out. Oh my God.
Did she get them both?
She got everything.
She got a 2x2.
Write it down, Brundo. She got 2x2. I'm sorry, pal. I forgot how rough your wife can be.
That was unnecessary. I guess I deserved it though.
Hey man, old Hominhead's on vacation. We had to come in with something.
Yeah, but now she's home on Mondays.
We're gonna have the fucking beating. The wife beatings. Well, no, not that way.
We can't. I don't want to be dueling fucking crotch punches.
Dueling crotch punches.
Writing that down. Shit.
I'm gonna have to order a cup on Amazon when this episode's over. Anyway, Tony, you were saying there's enough on the documentary.
Yeah, like first of all, I had no idea that he had an older brother that he lost. You know.
Uh huh.
That really got him, dude. Like you never, like you hear the stories like where he was like suicidal and like he was thinking about killing himself and blah blah blah. But like when it came to his brother, dude, that was like different level. Like that just hit him the wrong way, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, because I don't know if that's something like he's ever talked about.
Oh my God, you're really hurting.
It's not comfortable.
You want me to text her to bring you up an ice bag?
No.
Yeah, she's gonna just drop it on his nuts.
Yeah, it was right. It was, man. He just looked old. He looked old.
Oh yeah, yeah. The last time I was down in Clearwater. They did the interview in April last year. That's when I was down in Clearwater. So I saw him in that condition and just seeing him walking in, like kind of like hunched over with the cane and everything. Like, I mean, he was recovering from the surgery at this point too, you know, like he had a lot of shit going on already.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for a casual fan, there was a lot to digest for us. I think it was done well, and there was, like you said, Tony, things that you could learn. There was things that they really didn't like. They got into him leaving the WWF the first time. They didn't go into why he left the AWA. You know, they kind of skipped over his whole second marriage.
I mean, I don't know if there was anything really to tell with the second marriage. I mean, look, Linda was his life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's cool that she was involved, even though like there was like some, you know, heat brother between them. And then, like, she kind of found out that he fucking cheated on her and, you know, something I didn't know. Like, I knew there were problems. I didn't know, like, that was, like, the whole, you know, thing that got the ball rolling on their split up. But it seemed like they made it seem like everything was great when he was with WWF. And then when he went to WCW, like, everything went downhill. And then they said the fucking Hogan Knows Best was, like, the icing on the cake, you know?
And they also, like, painted the NWO as, like... He was like, yeah, I definitely want to be a part of that. When, like, the story everybody tells is, like, he was so fucking hesitant to turn heel. Like, he was, like, on the fence up until he walked through the curtain.
Yeah, but I heard mixed things over the years. And it's Hogan. Like, he embellishes. Like, you take everything with a grain of salt, you know.
I mean, Scott Hall has said that in a bunch of interviews where he said, like, Hogan was on the flight there and they still had no idea if he was going to be in the match or not.
Yeah, but I mean, it's Hogan. It's the stories, you know, like
he
tore every ligament and tendon in his back when he body slammed Andre at WrestleMania and shit. You know,
he tore his leg to pieces when he leg dropped the Iron Sheik.
Yeah, he brought that up in the documentary.
I mean, he's a wrestler. He's a carny like that. That's, you know, he's fucking like as much as like he's like, this is Terry and this is the Hulk. Like he lived the gimmick. Like, you know, I was kind of surprised Bret Hart said some nice things about him, you know?
Yeah, that changed in episode 3.
Yeah, well, but it was cool. Like, so like Linda was involved in a lot. His son was not much in terms of the interview, but like he was there like with him because the two of them were together in his later years, you know?
Right.
Mentioned Brooke. Brooke has actually come out and regretted that she wasn't involved, but it was kind of like her choice not to be involved. But dude, Christopher Lloyd, fucking Doc, Uncle Fester, they got him to fucking talk about Mr. Nanny. Yeah, was it
Suburban Commando?
Suburban Commando, that was it.
Suburban Commando, yeah.
I didn't expect him to be fucking sitting in a chair, but there he was.
Yeah, it was weird. The Donald Trump thing was fucking weird.
You know what, though? They reached out to the fucking president of the United States and said, do you want to do an interview for the Hulk Hogan documentary? And he said yes.
Yeah, like, but they came off like a fucking complete douchebag in like episode 2 or 1.
Who, Trump?
Yeah, I'm a busy man. What do you got? What do you want to talk about? Yes, I met him. He's got big arms. I'm like, well, this is not important. Now later, right?
But it's cool, man. Like it's the president that was involved in your documentary. I think that's pretty cool.
But he's probably thinking, you know, he's probably has the same amount of thoughts in his head as Hogan when he was on however much fentanyl he was on in TNA.
Yeah, like when we get to like episode 4 and he talks about like why he got involved in politics, then there's a place for Donald Trump. Like having him so early in the documentary just didn't make sense.
Yeah, but no, you're missing the point though. He was involved with Trump like early on, like 2 WrestleManias. Like he was like the liaison between going to Atlantic City and Vince, you know?
No,
I see the connection there.
He didn't bring anything to the interview.
I thought he did. Good guy. He talked him up that he was a good guy. He's got big muscles. He was a star.
Shave his fucking eyebrows. Jesus Christ. Fucking big old bushy motherfuckers. I didn't particularly care for the political stuff later in the episode. I understand the context because then you get like...
You get the boo and, you know...
Oh, my God. The boo. Holy shit.
And you know what's funny, too? Like, Jimmy Hart felt bad. And then when you listen to the Hulkster, he's like, but that's what you wanted, brother.
That's with months after it happened, though.
Yeah, but dude, like, Hogan's a carny. Like you have to take yourself out of like reality for a lot of the shit that he says. Like that's just how he is.
All the shit he says, pretty much.
But also, like it's so like.
But it's also cool. Like you got to see a lot of like the home videos of him just being a dad and being around the house. Like his relationship with Linda and the kids. You know.
Can I point out one thing about that really bothered me? Oh. This is me just being a complete fucking dork. The fucking timestamp for way it's like 3:38 a.m. and it's like fucking sunny and they're on the beach. And I'm like, God damn it. Learn how to set the fucking clock on the camcorder, Linda.
Did they have any videos of him teaching Nick to drive?
No, they didn't even touch on that. They did not touch on that. Or him putting oil on Brooke's back.
I tell you what, though, a young Linda, bro, she looked just like Brooke. Like the two of them, like it's uncanny how much they looked alike. Like young Linda and like Brooke, it's crazy. You don't think?
No, I agree. I agree. I'm reading the chat. I see you guys. We see you guys. But you guys are having like, who the fuck is Leo Lucy? I don't know what any of these things are. Who's Leo Lucci?
Who's Brendan Heaney?
Yeah, who's Brendan Heaney?
He's some fucking douche.
Bro, you don't talk to your family enough?
I guess not.
Jesus Christ, pick up a phone, call these people.
God damn. Yeah, we see it, guys. Jeez, relax. We're talking about the Hulkster. How about you bring some Hulkster comments? Did you guys watch the documentary?
No,
it's also we're not gonna turn this into like a fucking Fightful thing where we're just gonna read fucking the chat the whole show. All right, so fucking chill your jets, guys. We see you. We'll go to you. We love you, baby. Jay says Hulkster is the goat.
Fuck yeah, he is. Send your penis pics to Brundo directly.
It was. I enjoyed it. You know, it was sad. The ending was sad because the documentary kind of ends and. You know, they're like, oh, we'll see in a couple months. And then he didn't make it a couple months.
Yeah. So you're disappointed there was no Vern and Greg Gagne in the beginning.
No, I'm not disappointed. I just think they're. I was like, how are they going to fit all this into just 4 episodes?
It was a lot.
How long were the episodes?
They started like out like 45 minutes, but the last one was like over an hour. It was like almost like an hour 20. They probably could have split the last one up, but I guess just because he passed, like they wanted to, you know, kind of keep everything together.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, baby Jay. I also cried at the end. It was sad.
I felt really bad when he was talking about his brother, when he was just like, I can't, we got to stop. I was like, holy shit. Cause I never, number one, I didn't know he had a brother. I didn't know what the story was there. And he felt bad. Like he gave his brother money. He's like, I should have brought him home with me. Could you imagine living with that regret for your whole life?
Woof.
We got to see Hogan get baptized though.
I also thought it was hysterical. The fucking Ultimate Warrior's catching fucking strays.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what the fuck? Even Bruce Pritchard got in on it.
Ted DiBiase has like fucking six parts in the whole four episodes, and one of them is like, yeah, that guy was the shit.
Yeah, there's a guy who's never liked the Warrior. That's for fucking sure.
You know, it was really fucked up. You get an idea of really just how like fucking warped Linda was too. Like after Brooke was born, she's just like, nah, I just stopped taking my birth control. Got knocked up. Don't worry. Terry eventually was fine with it. I was like, what the fuck? And he found out from his mother-in-law that his wife was pregnant. He's like, what the fuck? Could you imagine the promo? What the fuck, Linda?
Take your vitamins, dude.
Gotta get the plan busy, brother.
I thought it was good. I thought it was well done. I enjoyed it, you know. I would recommend people watching it, you know. It's a nice trip down memory lane.
For sure, yeah. They talk about the Gawker trial. They talk about the movie, or, you know.
They talk about Bubba the Lug Sponge at all?
No, not really.
Yeah. He only banged his wife.
Well, I mean.
Best friend's wife, I think, is what they said, or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember them. I think like when they were showing like snippets from the news, they may have showed Bubba's name, but they didn't mention him.
Yeah, very brief. They briefly touched on Vince Russo.
Yeah,
and the end of WCW.
Hogan going back against the Rock.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. You know, I briefly touched on the Shawn Michaels stuff. Michaels was sticking it to him for being old.
Yeah, and how he fucking oversold everything in the match. Yeah.
What a piece of fucking shit.
He really was. Oh my God. I watched, I want to say it was WrestleMania. It was one of those like where they put together the top 10s.
WrestleMania?
Yeah, you got to start following shit on YouTube. Like the top 10 clips. Like it was either them or it was, I forget the other one I watched, but it was like top 10 times like wrestlers like got annoyed. And it was like Shawn Michaels wrestling Vader, and he's like all fucking aggravated. And then they showed it with Shawn getting pissed off at Jose Lothario for being in the way of his fucking fireworks when he was trying to do his flexing and yelled at him. Oh, and then when he yelled at fucking Bret Hart and fucking Hebner, get the fuck out of my ring when he fucking won at WrestleMania 12. Like, what a piece of shit, dude.
I think I know what you're talking about. Is that the one with like Simon and somebody else? It's Adam Pacini.
It's all British guys. It's all and shit like that, you know?
Here, 10 times Shawn Michaels was a whiny bitch. Tune in.
By the way, as an aside, you know what? Let's fucking wrap up Hogan. I could talk about that separately. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else? I enjoyed the shit out of it. I really liked it. I feel it didn't waste my time. It didn't insult my intelligence. I walked into it knowing who Hogan was and what he did. You know, like it even touched on his charity work, you know, like all like the Make-A-Wish stuff. So like I enjoyed it. Like I thought it was a good telling of the history of the life of Terry Bollea.
Terry Bollea, Hulk Hogan. Yeah, no, it was good. I enjoyed it. If you're a wrestling fan, watch it. It's a great trip down memory lane. You learn a bunch of stuff and.
I like too when Vince Sr. named him Hulk Hogan because they wanted an Irish guy, and he goes, "But I'm Italian, brother."
At this point, look at that Indian over there, Chief J. Strongboat. He's Italian. Who gives a shit?
That's right. For years, I thought Mark Merrow was black. I thought Taz was black. Both Italian guys.
I get it.
Rosanna Scotto from Channel 5 local news. I always thought she was black.
I was today years old when I found out Mark Merrow wasn't black.
Is he? I mean, I thought he was Italian.
Oh, I think he's Italian, yeah. Isn't he?
Merrow?
You're on it? All right, good.
He really like dove into the Little Richard thing. Tony, the chat thinks you need more love. They don't understand why you're at the bottom. Where do you want him to go, guys? It's a three-man show right now. Where would you like us to put Tony?
Oh, shit. He's not. All right. He's not Italian, but close enough. He's Jewish.
Oh, that's right.
His name is Merowitz. I had no fucking idea.
Well, so was Lenny Kravitz. So,
actually, you know, his name was originally Merowitz, but his father had it shortened. So his name is Merrow, but it came from Merowitz. So there you go.
Tony is the Ryan Magoo says Tony is low key top two characters. There's three of us here. So who's the odd man out?
Probably HK. You. What? Oh, it was cool when you and Brundle were like the tag team.
No, I'm just curious. I don't understand how they're picking like who their favorites are. There's three of us.
Stop doing a Phil Rea and paying attention to the chat. Fucking move on, bro.
Our guest is here.
I know. That's another reason why we should move on.
All right. I'm not touching the thing because I don't know how the layout is going to be.
Right, I got the layout. Brundle, bring in our guest. Bring in Mr. Costigan.
There you go. That a boy.
Yeah, I see. I pronounced it right.
There we go.
Until he tells me I pronounced it wrong.
No, first of all, you didn't call him Lord. And I think that's offensive.
I think he's on mute, too.
Yes.
One second. He's working on it. Technology, people. It's not an easy thing.
No.
He already looks more professional than 99% of the guests we have on this show anyway. I mean, he's on full camera. It's not sideways cell phone image.
All right, let's see if we can hear him now. We got to get audio. Let me unmute him. Are they muted?
Nope.
Why are you muting him? He's working on it.
We got to figure it out. He'll be fine. We can't hear you. No ears.
No, Steve, can you hear us?
Poor Steve Kern.
Yeah.
I'll never get over that interview.
Well, we were typing to him, Steve, can you hear
us? Yeah. And he thought we were ribbing him?
Yeah. Who was it he thought was over here?
He thought it was Hardcore Holly, wasn't he?
No,
it was
Jim Brunzel or...
Oh, he thought it was Brian Blair, didn't he?
Brian Blair, yeah.
There you go.
Do we want to? We realize he's muted.
Yes, thank you, guys. Jeez Louise.
They're just trying to be so helpful.
They are trying. Look, I appreciate that they're here to see the Lord, but we're going to work with it. We're going to work with him and try and figure out his audio.
Just check the bottom where the microphone is. You might just have to change what your setting is for the microphone. That's about the best possible solution.
Tony's the tech guy. Tony knows.
Yeah.
So what was the thing I wanted to bring up? Fuck, I forgot what it was.
Is that thing about that guy?
Yeah, the thing about the guy with the schnabitz.
What's a schnabitz?
I don't know, the gimmick schnabitz. Cornette says it. Taz says it. I don't know. It's just like the gimmick schnabitz.
What does that mean in Carney?
Hello?
There we go.
Did I fix it? Did we fix it finally? I'm firing my sound guy. My IT person, he's getting fired this week.
Fuck yeah.
Is it
unemployment line?
Lord Murphy Costigan, how are you?
I am doing great. And to answer your question, Lod, yes, you did pronounce my name correctly, which was very refreshing because I kind of tell you how many times people get it wrong.
Yeah, Brundle.
Some of us don't even try.
Brundle may or may not have butchered your name to start the show.
Hey, I didn't butcher it. I asked you how to pronounce
it. No, he just mispronounced it. That's all.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've got the technical difficulties sorted... It's my pleasure to be here, lads. Thank you very much for having me on.
It's great to have you. So do you prefer Lord? Do you prefer Mr. Costigan? Like,
I will accept Mr. Costigan, your lordship, Lord Costigan, whichever tickles your fancy.
I kind of like lordship. I haven't heard the word lordship in a very long time in wrestling.
Yeah, your lordship will do just fine.
Double T, you don't like the fact that we're using lordship.
I don't mind. I love it. Look, I'm just... excited to talk to Lord Murphy Costigan. We've had his mentor and bitter rival Bo James on the show before.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I'm not trying to bring up any bad feelings, but I know things didn't really work out for you in February. But you know, Bo kind of breaks down the fourth wall on his podcast, and he speaks very highly of you. So I was very excited to reach out and get you on the show because you've been doing some great things over there.
Well, one thing I can say is Bo James and I rivalry is one word for it. Eternal war could be another. But I will say that I would not be where I'm at if it was not for him. And he speaks highly of me, and I do speak highly of him when it comes to the knowledge of professional wrestling, everything he has accomplished, everything he has done in his own career and the career of Southern States Wrestling. Having said that, though, I still hate his guts.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Hey, come on now. I like Bo James.
Well, that makes one of us.
That is your opinion. It's the wrong opinion to have, but it's yours.
Well, it's working out good for you. You're featured on Southern States Wrestling. You're on Legacy. You're on the new Power Half Hour.
Power Half Hour.
In Alabama, you're on the CW, so that's exciting. And you're kind of like semi-famous, Lord. You are had a big hand in Jelly Roll's recent professional wrestling journey, and he kind of blew up your spot, Jelly Roll did, when he put it out on the internet without you knowing.
Well, first of all, I slightly resent the remark of semi-famous. I would venture to say I'm a very well-known individual, but that's neither here nor there. But no, you're absolutely right. We were doing the training, obviously, you know, tight to the chest, and he put it out, and I still wasn't sure if we could share it. I sent Dr. Tom a message. I said, can we put this out? Yeah, can we talk about this now? And he said, yeah. I was like, okay. So as soon as I did that, typed it right up and sent it out. Because I was not going to keep my gob shut when it came to what I was doing. No longer than I had to.
Is that, like, when you find out you're going to be, you know, involved in training Jelly Roll for the WWE, like, walk us through, like, the emotions that you experience. Like, are you excited? Are you nervous? Did you, like, oh, my God, I'm going to shit my pants. What if this guy gets hurt on my watch? Like, walk us through all this.
Well, the first emotion I had was skepticism because I'm like, okay, we're training Jelly Roll, really? You expect me to believe that? You having that really? But then Dr. Tom called me and said he wants us to come down and work with him. I want you to be the person to come help me, and I'm okay. So my first thought was, this is awesome. This is amazing. But also, the second thought I had was, okay, how can we best service this man? How can we best educate him? How can I best work with Dr. Tom to teach him and get him where he needs to be? I saw it as a great responsibility. It's our job to teach him and help him get to where he needed to go. And people could say what they like, but you saw his match on SmackDown. I'd venture to say we did a very good job.
Yeah, I'd say, and if anyone's seen your matches, you can tell he learned from a pretty great wrestler. I mean, you are one half of the Southern States Tag Team Champions.
Let me tell you something, lad. Flattery with me will get you everywhere. And yes, I am. I'm one half of the Southern States Wrestling Tag Team Champions along with Stan Sierra.
Yes. The chat wants to know, where'd it go? I just had it up here. God dang it. Maybe it was Baby J wants to know where your accent is from.
So I am from Scotland. I am originally from Inverness. I'm Bill from Glasgow, Scotland. I have family there. I currently reside in Tennessee. So that is where you hear my accent from. The great nation of Scotland, the wonderful field of green.
How does a Scottish guy fit into the Tennessee lifestyle?
Well, when I first got here, I was like, this is horrible. There isn't anywhere I can get a proper drink. But I must say, Tennessee has become a second home to me. I do very much enjoy it here. The people have somewhat embraced me, but they also acknowledge their betters, and they see me as what I am, which is one of their betters. So who can they love that?
I mean, that's not pretty hard. Tennessee isn't known for the betters, that's for sure. So,
well, I will say this. Look at some of the greatest wrestlers who have come out of Tennessee or got their start in Tennessee. You can go down the list. They all started here.
True. Very true.
And you're on the list now.
I am. I would venture to say I'm going to be at the top of the list.
The tippy top? Who's on the top? I mean, I don't want to bring it up again, but you didn't fare so well with Bo James. I'm just saying.
Bo James has defeated me. I've defeated him. It's tit for tat, back and forth. We are very evenly matched, and I am a man of my word. I said that night, Mount Carmel, that if he was victorious over me, I would extend my hand, shake his hand, and say, you are, in fact, the better man. And that's what I did. I'm honest. You might not like what I say. You might not like how I say it, but I'm an honest person. If I give my word I'm going to do something, I'll do it.
I dig the mustache. What's the maintenance on that?
It is a process, man. It is a process. And nothing will cause you more stress on the human body than properly groomed and perfected facial hair. It is a 30-minute process every morning. It requires oil. It requires wax. It requires a lot of attention.
Do the ladies like the mustache?
Oh, good question.
You know, a gentleman doesn't kiss and tell. I will simply just leave it there. A proper gentleman doesn't kiss and tell.
But I mean, you're not naming names, but come on, they enjoy the mustache.
They go for a ride.
Oh yeah, they enjoy the mustache.
I will say that there are certain individuals who do. Let's just say they quite enjoy the accessories.
Do you have to tell your opponents don't touch the mustache?
Well, I could tell them that, but then they're just going to go right for it. Because if you tell me, hey, my knees hurt, where do you think I'm going to go? I'm going to go for your knee, genius. You just told me your weakness.
Double T doesn't understand wrestling.
Bo James likes to grab a hold of it.
Oh, yeah?
I've had to tell him many times, hey, easy.
Oh, yeah. What was the, your lordship, what was the most surprising thing about your time with Jelly Roll?
The biggest thing that surprised me, it wasn't a surprise. It was more just, wow, he demonstrated a level of dedication and passion that is very rare in a lot of individuals. Now, I'm not speaking ill of anyone, but professional wrestling, contrary to what certain people believe, it is very hard. It's very graining on our, not just getting in the ring and doing it, but on our bodies as well. Just the pain that we go through, just falling down and getting up. It's very painful. A lot of people, they go down once, they pop up and say, well, I'm not doing that again. And they scatter on. Jelly Roll got in there and got after it. There wasn't any quit. There wasn't, oh, I need a break. No, he was, what's coming up next? What are we doing now? And he was right there with everything. And he listened to everything Dr. Tom and I told him, walked through everything with him. He was there for it all. And he, just his passion was not surprising, but astounding.
Are you and Jelly Roll friends now?
I would say we are very, very close acquaintances. I wouldn't deign to call myself his friend, but I would say that he is a very close acquaintance.
So if, like, he's coming through Tennessee, like, hey, it's Lord Costigan. You got a couple of spots for me to come check out the show?
Or vice versa, if you say, hey, Jelly Roll, May 1st, Mount Carmel, Tennessee, you know, you want to back me. We don't need the help, but if you want to come down and watch me and Stan Sierra's back against the faction, I wouldn't be against it.
Well, I will say, Jelly Roll, he is who he is for a reason. That man doesn't stop. He is very busy. He's very involved with a lot of things that he does, whether it's his music, whether it's his, you know, his outreach, things that he does, you know, where he goes and helps and assists and speaks to people. You know, he does the prison tours. He does all those things and tries to give back. He is a very busy man, and I would never presume to call him and say, hey, you should come up here. But if he was to call me and say, hey, you're going to be in Mount Carmel on May the 1st, I would like to come by. I am certainly not going to tell him no. Well, please, by all means, come.
We'll put the word out for you. We'll get Jelly Roll there.
If he is there, though, he will stand in my corner.
I would hope
so. Of course he will.
Yeah, absolutely.
Think he's going to stand with Bo James? Fuck that guy.
Well, easy, buddy.
I'm sorry.
He understands what a walloper Bo James is. We had a discussion about that because we talked about the 35th year anniversary because I was training him 2 days before I went into that chain match. I told him exactly what was coming up. We had a discussion. I said what was ahead of me. I showed him pictures of Whitey Caldwell and Ron Wright and Don Wright, of the history of the East Tennessee dog whooping, the chain match. And he looked at me, said, you're going to do that? I'm like, hey, I'm. And he said, well, first of all, 35 years, that's impressive. Tell Bo congratulations on that, but just good luck to you, mate. I came in that next week, still bruised and battered and bashed. And he looked at me and said, "Well, you already went through it, didn't you?" I was like, "Hey, yeah, I did. Now, we getting into it? Hey, we're getting into it. Let's go." And we went right back into work.
That's awesome.
What'd you say, a walloper?
He's a walloper.
What is that?
He's a walloper. He's a clipe. He's a balloon.
He's a balloon like you, Double T.
Lordy, he's throwing it down. I don't know what any of these things mean.
Just do your research, mate. Just do your research. I kind of say what they mean, and maybe I shouldn't use that kind of language. I'm getting myself carried away a wee bit. Okay. I try to conduct myself and compose myself in a way that represents me best. Maybe I just need to bring it down. But he's a walloper. That's what he is. He's a walloper.
Fair enough. I'm gonna Google that later.
We don't bring anything down in this show. Call him whatever you want. Go worse if you want.
I try to handle myself with decorum, with class, language befitting a nobleman such as myself.
Let me ask you this, Lord. Is there anything above a lord?
Well, like there's king and queen.
Would you?
But that's a lot of pressure. I'm not saying I couldn't be king and queen. I'm not saying I couldn't be the king. I could be. It's certainly within my wheelhouse. I can accomplish anything. But yeah, it's just there's a lot more going on with that. I'm very happy where I'm at and what I'm doing.
Do you think that hypothetical question here, because he's a little older too, so this might be real easy. You beat Jerry Lawler, you become the king of Tennessee.
Certainly in the conversation. Certainly in the conversation.
We don't want to look at the fact.
You should just start calling yourself king. What's he going to do about it?
Well, I could call myself the king. But people who call themselves king and haven't earned it, they rub me the wrong way. If I'm going to be a king, I'm going to earn it. I'm going to do it the right way. That's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to live up to the name. So anyone who says, "Oh, he's not a real king," they have no reason to doubt. Same thing I did when I became Lord. I showed them way. No one doubts it now.
Who's the one opponent that you'd say if you defeated this person soundly, you deserve to call yourself king? Who would that be?
Oh, there's so many options. This is what you have to factor in as well. There's many that have passed on that had the title of king, and you could say that they were king. You know, if we're just referring to Tennessee, I mean, Jerry Lawler, the king, very well earned that name. But you also had men like Jackie Fargo earn that name. Sputnik Monroe. If we want to move eastward towards where I'm located, you had Whitey Caldwell, you had Ron Wright, you had Don Wright, men like Les Thatcher that wrestled here. There's been many kings in Tennessee, so it's a toss up as to which one I would get in the ring with.
You'd beat them all anyway.
Well, that's you saying that, but I will not disagree with you. Very wise man, Tony. Very wise man indeed.
I love it, Your Lordship. You are well versed in Tennessee wrestling. I absolutely love that.
Well, I have to give that credit to Bull James as well.
Oh, please don't give him any more credit, man.
I give credit where it is due. I give credit where it's due.
And you know,
just as I give Dr. Tom Pritchard credit for helping me get to where I'm at as well.
Now, if you defeated Tom Pritchard, then you'd definitely be able to call yourself king.
I would at least be able to call myself the doctor.
Oh my God, Dr. Lordship, that'd be awesome.
Dr. Lordship, I like the sound of that.
Would you be Dr. Lordship or the Lord Doctor or Dr. Lord? That's a work in progress. We'll figure that out.
We'll workshop that.
Did we just lose Matt?
Maybe it wasn't in my system. Maybe it was yours because he's just gone now.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Hopefully, periodically, like he'll lose power for whatever reason. I'm sure he'll be shooting us a text, but
yeah, there it is. He's coming back. Oh. Get ready to kick him.
Oh, brother. There he is.
Yeah.
Let's get him in there. What happened, Double? See, Your Lordship, it wasn't just you with your audio issues. Sometimes
maybe my IT person can keep his job a wee bit longer.
Sorry, I'm the jester and I didn't pay the electrical bill apparently.
Well, that serves you right.
That was a bad joke. Now I know you do a lot of stuff with Southern States Wrestling, but I also saw you're that you Appalachian.
So people from here, they will tell you it's Appalachian. They don't even know how to pronounce where they're from. It's Appalachian Mountain Wrestling.
Now, I saw you captured the briefcase recently.
I did. The goal for the gold ladder match winner.
Now, do you know what you're going to do with that yet? I mean, you don't
There's a lot of options on the field. There's a lot of options for me. Because I could cash it in, not just with Appalachian Mountain Wrestling. I could cash it in Southern States Wrestling if I liked. I could cash it in for USWF in Kentucky as well. There's many sister promotions. A lot of options on the table. But I believe Appalachian Mountain Wrestling is where my focus is going to be.
First thing you need to do.
There's plenty of options. And speaking of Appalachian Mountain Wrestling, I must bring this up because I hold the briefcase for as long as I want. It doesn't go bad until next weekend of champions in the year of 2027. Well, August the 22nd, we've got the Super Bowl of Wrestling for AMW. Carbon, Kentucky at the Carbon Civic Center, the Civic Arena. So maybe I wait until then. Cash in on the grandest stage AMW has had up until this point. But there's a lot of options. There's plenty to survey, and I have absolutely nothing but time to decide. Stan Sierra holds the New South title, and he's a mate of mine. We're tag team champions together. But sometimes you have to set that aside when you want to get to the top of the mountain.
I don't know, man. There's a phrase that we live by. Don't shit where you eat. If things are okay, just let them be okay.
Hey, but there's also an expression where I come from, too. Do you want to have your friends or do you want to have your legacy?
I like that. Fair enough. That's good.
The first thing you do with the briefcase is just waffle Bo James in the head.
It's crossed my mind.
Just haul off. Not even one of those two-handed. Just grab it by the handle and wallop.
There's just been times I've walked through the car park in the arenas, and I've seen him and thought, you know, there's no one around.
Yeah, wallop that walloper right across the head.
What is your deal? Why do you hate Bo James, Tony?
Because I'm supporting his lordship. He knows where it's at. Bo James. Who do you ever beat?
Everybody.
Yeah, I mean, all right, fair enough.
You're just trying to butter up to the Lord. You're looking to get I don't know what's below a Lord, but you're looking for that job, Tony.
Now, listen, I would never like pre-impose anything on the Lord. Like if he has his vast estate and he needed a fellow servant or a fief to someone to work the land, to toil, to support him, far be it from me to ever want to have anything to do with his lordship and his kingdom. But you know what? I'm open to ideas.
Well, Tony, perhaps after this is done, we can have ourselves a discussion.
Beautiful.
Tony cannot grow facial hair, your lord. So don't
expect, a little bit.
Don't expect a mustache. I'm just telling you.
Well,
I wouldn't look Scottish. I'd look more like Mexican with a mustache. I can't do the.
You can't trust the Italians. Crispy. Don't trust them. He'll whack you.
Well, the lack of ability to grow facial hair is somewhat of a disqualifier. But we can still discuss it. We can talk about it. There's tonics and creams we can get you, mate.
It's not for lack of trying. I've tried to grow beard, but I've got bald spots everywhere. You know, like I can't connect. Well,
the people that say A for effort are also the ones who get participation trophies.
If you give me a participation trophy, I'm going to waffle Bo James across the head with it.
Man, you just don't quit. You are locked into this.
You know what? I'm team lordship. What can I tell you?
So May 1st, now you got to go after the tag titles, but you got this briefcase. Jordan Lawrence, you thinking? I mean, it was once yours. You held it for over 200 days.
I did. Three-time Southern States Wrestling heavyweight champion. The only man in history to hold the Southern States Wrestling title and the Southern States Wrestling legacy title at the same time. I'm the only man in history to do that. Jordan Lawrence. Jordan Lawrence is a very good friend of mine. I've known him for many years. I was the one who brought him to Southern States Wrestling. Oh. And I will say that he has fought hard to get where he is. However, friendship aside, maybe I get my title back. But as for right now, my focus is set on the faction of Jeff Baker and Jeff Conley. These lads want to keep stepping up to me and Stan Sierra. And they're a great tag team. They've teamed for many years. They've held many titles. many champions across many promotions. But when it comes to Southern States Wrestling, I'm the one mountain they kind of scale. I'm the one obstacle they kind of overcome. So they want to try Stan Sierra and us again. Well, we will happily send them on a first-class ticket to Bosh Town for the umpteenth time and retain our Southern States Wrestling Tag Team title. So if you are in the Tennessee area, if you're in the Virginia, if you're anywhere at all and you want to come see Lord Murphy Costigan in action, 399 Highway 11W, Southern States Wrestling Spring Spectacular, May the 1st, this coming Friday night. Come out and see it. It's going to be an event you don't want to miss.
And if you can't make it to Mount Carmel,
Tennessee,
then you can go to Pikeville, Kentucky on Saturday for
AMW. Just a hop, skip, and step away from Mount Carmel. Not very far at all. So why not make it a double weekend? Come see two of the best promotions that you will see on the Independence. Two of the best promotions, two of the longest running promotions, might I add. And of course, you get to see me, Lord Murphy Costigan, the finest wrestler in Southern States Wrestling, the finest wrestler in Appalachian Mountain Wrestling, the finest wrestler anywhere I go, because there is nay a soul who can topple the rogue.
Now I know you got Casey King at AMW in May, but they announced AMW in June. The old Nick Nemeth is going to be in town. Is that Lord Murphy Costigan, you know, going to draw a line in the sand? Come step over the line, Nick. See what you got.
Oh, hey, the wanted man, Nick Nemeth himself. He's coming to challenge Marty Clay. Marty Clay's biggest match of his life up until this point. And as much as it pains me to say, Marty Clay is one fine specimen of a professional wrestler. He is another one I have had battles with. We've bashed and thrashed each other many times. So Nick Nemeth, former world champion, wrestled and beaten almost every major name you can think of, every major player in professional wrestling for the past 10 to 15 years. Nick Nemeth, well, he's toppled them. But it's not going to be as easy as coming in and just stepping over Marty Clay. He's going to have to have his game face on. He's going to have to be ready to go. He's going to have some chefs up in his kitchen doing the cooking for the recipe that is Marty Clay. Because if he thinks he's going to come in and Marty's just going to lay down for him, well, Marty Clay may be a big ear clipe, but he's not going to lay down for anyone.
I got to write all this stuff down. What's a clipe?
Yeah, add that to your homework list.
I got a homework list indeed. Hey, Lord, let me ask you this. How does the food in Tennessee compare to the food in Scotland?
Well, I do miss the taste of home.
Right? Do you guys do? Is a bangers and mash? Is that a Scottish thing?
Bangers and mash is an Irish dish, but Scots eat it too. We trade back and forth. I have family who's Irish as well, so I'm familiar with Irish cuisine as well as Scottish. Mince and tatties, which is minced beef and potatoes, a fabulous dish. That's Scottish. One of my personal favorite drinks, Iron Brew, national drink of Scotland. Perfect. Can't really get that here very often, but right. I adapt. I don't know if you've heard of a restaurant, which is very, very low brow, very low class, but I must admit the food is quite delicious. House of Waffles or Waffle House, I believe is the name of the establishment.
My all-time favorite restaurant that they don't have around here.
Yeah, I walked in and looked around and thought, what is this? This is, what am I doing here? But then I sat down and the waitress was friendly. She had no teeth, but she was friendly. And she brought me my food and it looked well enough to eat, I suppose. And I tried it expecting to hate it. I must admit it was rather tasty.
Now, I went to IHOP today, International House of Pancakes, and I almost shat myself. Has the Waffle House made you almost shit your pants?
God, Lord, no. Man, I'm from Scotland. We've got cast iron stomachs.
Yeah, you enjoy the haggis?
Oh, aye, haggis is delicious. Have you ever had haggis?
No, can't say I have. Can't say I want
to
try.
Well, you need to broaden your horizons, mate. You need to expand your worldview. Proper made haggis. It's got to be proper made, however. Because you see some in the shops, you know, they come in the tin. Nah, that's rubbish. That's swill. You got to get yourself a proper fresh made haggis. Very good, though. Very good.
We got
shepherd's pie also. Shepherd's pie is Irish, but still very delicious.
That's with the potatoes, right?
Oh, yeah. Hey, it's minced lime with some vegetables made with a red wine sauce with the potatoes on top. It's very tasty. Very good.
A lot what of people is, around here, they screwed up. They put ground beef instead of minced lime.
Oh, you're going to set me off on a rant. You're going to get me going and get me steaming.
Yep.
I feel like
even the Irish places I've seen, they don't know what a cottage pie is. They call it a shepherd's pie. Awful.
Balloons. Egypt's.
Balloons. I feel like there's an opportunity for Lord Murphy Costigan's like pub where you just serve great Scottish food in Tennessee.
Maybe once I finish my career in professional wrestling, maybe then I'll turn my eye to the cuisine. But who knows? But right now, my mind is dead set and tunnel vision on professional wrestling.
We got the L Juggalo wants to know, got to ask Murphy, your thoughts on Juggalo Championship Wrestling. Are you familiar?
I am familiar. I've seen what they do. They have a great fan base. Their fans are very diehard support. I've got several, I wouldn't say friends, but I've got several colleagues that wrestle there. They're doing very good business from everything I've seen.
Do you understand the Juggalo? I don't, they're weird, right? They're a little squirrely. I mean, I love
truth be told, no, I don't, not at all. Don't understand, but hey. Whatever you're into, Matt. You know, you wrestle to your heart's content. But they're doing good business. They have a very loyal fan base, I've noticed. You know, because I've spoken with people who are on their events, and they have fans that follow them everywhere.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyone who can inspire that kind of loyalty, what can you say? It's working for them.
Do you have like a fan base, and do they have like a fun name, like the Costigans or the Peasants?
We just called it. I just refer to them as the commoners.
I like that. I like that.
They come and they acknowledge my ability and my skill, and I say thank you for your acknowledgement, and that's that. I don't socialize. I come for business. I come to win my matches, to collect my winnings, and to simply go home. That's what I come to do. But fans come, they cheer me, they boo me. Whatever they want to do is up to them, because I am focused on my match constantly at all times.
Well, Lord, this has been an absolute pleasure. You got such a busy weekend. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. We know you're at Southern States Wrestling on Friday night and AMW on Saturday night. Anything you want to leave the fans with before we let you go about the rest of your, lordship-ish night? I don't know.
Well, I would like to say that being on this podcast has absolutely been your pleasure. And as far as Lord Murphy Costigan, you can see me, like he said, this coming Friday night, May the 1st, Mount Carmel, Tennessee, for Southern States Wrestling. You can see me May the 2nd in Pikeville, Kentucky, for Appalachian Mountain Wrestling. Two big matches coming up this weekend. You can find me on social medias. You've got it rolling across the bottom of the screen, but if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to rehash. You can find me on Facebook at Murphy Costigan. You can find me on Instagram at lord.costigan. And you can find me on X, Twitter, whatever you refer to it as at Murphy Costigan, capital M, capital C. You can go to my Pro Wrestling Tees link, which is posted in my descriptions, in my bios, and on the screen below. So do yourself a favor. Go buy yourself a Lord Murphy Costigan t-shirt, because you will get complimented wherever you go. That is a fine piece of merchandise. Where can I get that?
Well, you are a fine gentleman, Mr. Lord Murphy Costigan. Anytime you want to come back on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast and hang out with us and shoot the shit and just have a good time, you have an open invitation, my friend.
Well, anytime you would like to have me back, simply get in contact with my people and we will make the arrangements, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here with you lads.
And take it easy on the audio guy when you get off of when you sign off. Don't be don't beat him too bad.
Unless it's Bo James, then definitely.
There's going to be a conversation, because I told him this was a very important evening to me. I'm speaking with some fine lads about myself. I love talking about myself, if you haven't noticed. And he almost ruined that. So we're going to have ourselves a discussion.
In the end, I think it worked out.
I believe it did. Lucky for him.
Not for him, no. It's going to be a bad scene. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your Monday night. Great luck this weekend. Hopefully when we read the results Saturday morning, you're still one half of the Southern States Tag Team Champions.
Cheers and good fortune to you lads as well.
Thanks, Lord.
Lord Murphy, Lordship. Everybody, thank you, our Lordship. Your Lordship, our Lordship.
The Lordship.
Yes, man, the Lordship.
Tongue-tied on that.
Oh, shit. What did I do?
There I don't know. What did you do?
There we go.
Oh.
Old Almond Head didn't leave me any instructions.
Oh, let me take the banner down. I remembered, like, the last minute to do the banner. Lord Murphy Costigan. That was fun.
That yeah, was. Yeah, absolutely. That was
great. I'll have to send him a message when we're done with the show. The El Juggalo is big on the ICP, and we appreciate that. We respect that. Juggalo, JC, Clowns coming to New Jersey in October.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. So last Monday during the show, I maybe fucked up a little bit.
A little bit.
I was on the Twitter. You know, I got the two laptops set up going on. I was scrolling through Twitter, X, whatever Twitter. We're calling it. Write it down. And WWE had shared a graphic of fucking Rusev holding up the IC title like he'd won it. So I stupidly went on here and said we have breaking news. We have a new IC champion. And I was corrected later on the next day by Tony that I am an idiot. And he had only beaten up Penta and then hoisted the championship in the air. And I guess they're having a match tonight on Raw. So I fucked up.
Good for Rusev. Good for him.
He's still going to lose, but yeah.
Yeah, but good for him.
It was a busy week. Dubbed, you forget, right? WrestleMania week doesn't end when WrestleMania is over. We still have Raw. We still have SmackDown. We have call-ups. We have releases. It was a fucking crazy week in the world of the WWE.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Shoot.
For both of you.
Yeah.
All right. I get, you know, like we got Cody and Phil.
Yep. Yeah.
With their little, you know, like, hey, I might just come for you or I might have an opportunity. And then Cody says, you know, just, you know, whenever you want.
Yeah,
so that's sowing the seeds there. But also, we got Jacob Fatu stepping up, saying he needs that title. He wants what the tribal chief has. He wants to feed his family. He wants to have the house, blah, 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 blah. But did it feel like the Raw after WrestleMania was a bit of a letdown this year?
I thought, like, it was weird that they were like, Finn beats Dom, right? But now we're gonna work backwards. He's not done with them. He's gotta wrestle JD McDonough now.
Yeah, you would think Dom would be like the final boss of the Goon Squad.
Yeah. Right?
You would think it would be Finn Balor stepping up to Roman, not Jacob Fatu or something like that.
I don't like Jacob Fatu going right in there. I don't want him to be the first guy that Roman beats.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can see it coming where it's going to be maybe Roman's lackeys helping him win and like Jacob Fatu gets oh so close, but he doesn't do it. So then next time when they actually like really build him up, like he's got a score to settle. And maybe next time the Usos aren't there.
Are we really going back to that though? The Usos?
The Bloodline is back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like they're not below the tribal chief. Like Roman Reigns made it clear, like this is family. This isn't like a hierarchy, you know, like, well, they're all even for now, you know, what do you think about that? What do you think about them going back to like the Usos being with Roman Reigns?
I guess, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm sort of okay with it for now.
Yeah, you got to, you know, I think
it might be one last run. I don't know how much more Roman Reigns has left, you know?
I mean, he fucking showed out at WrestleMania, though. Like, that match with Phil was fucking great.
No, I get it, but he's also, you know, I mean, he's been at this for a long time already, so he's got to be thinking maybe another year or two.
Really? That's it? Isn't he only, like, 41 or so?
Yeah, he works, like, fucking, like, a quarter of the shows during the pandemic.
Well, I mean, he still looks like a quarter of the shows now.
Yeah. And the pandemic, he, you know, he couldn't work. He had that's the fair. Leukemia thing, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I mean too. Like he's got his health to worry about. He also has a family. He's made a ton of money. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't know if it's Brock Lesnar level money, but it's got to be pretty damn close, right?
And maybe he does a good job in Street Fighter and that opens more doors. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Maybe he's parlaying it to go off to Hollywood, you know, something where, you know, he could take it easy, a little more easy than being in the ring. I mean, I know he doesn't work much, but I don't know. Because then where else do you run Roman Reigns, like, if you're not doing bloodline things with him?
Yeah, but, like, I don't know, man. Like, the bloodline was great. And then, like, the minute he vanquished Solo, that kind of closed the book. Like, that whole faction, him and the, what are they called, the MFTs? Like,
yeah, the MFTs, woof. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. They're, like, they're dead in the water. I'm surprised they didn't fucking release them. Like, I don't know what's next for them.
Oh, no, because they were offering their services to Jacob on SmackDown, and Jacob turned him down. And what's his nuts? Whoever is the one guy that they keep, like, infighting with, Tama. He was like, why are we supporting Tama, right? This guy? He's a fucking loser.
Yeah, it's Tama, right? Like, I don't know, man. Like, it worked. The bloodline worked great the first time. Like, are we really going to try and go back to that?
Yeah, but when they decided to give Solo a microphone and make him a little more of a wise guy rather than an enforcer, it kind of like took the shine off of him.
Yeah, yeah. He's an entertaining guy, but
he is, but he's not for
what yeah. he was.
Yeah, you're yeah. exactly right.
He was a killer, not a goofball killer.
Yeah.
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 So I mean, it's interesting. You got the Street Profits are back. They seem like they're gonna challenge for the tag titles. Against the Vision.
Who was it? Somebody who was the asshole that commented on Twitter? They were trying to start some shit. They said Montez Ford came back because his wife can't bring home money anymore.
Austin Theory.
That was so fucking good. What a dickhead. But no, like Raw after Mania, like it didn't feel like there was like that one special moment, you know? Like it just kind of felt like it was a good Raw, don't get me wrong. Like it advanced like stories and it pivoted the way the Raw after Mania is supposed to do. But
I mean,
there wasn't like a fucking, there wasn't like a Dolph Ziggler cash in moment or anything like that, you know?
Do we build it too much these last couple of years where we expect something, we're expecting too much from the Raw after Mania?
You might be right.
I mean, you got the return of the Street Profits. You got Ethan Page debuting. You got Saul Ruka debuting.
She won't see her tonight, probably.
She got fucking murked in that NXT.
Eight staples in the back of her head.
Wait, is she the one that got thrown off the cliff by Pizzeria?
Yes, yes. On NXT the next night, yes.
Yep.
And Pizzeria interfered in her title match with Liv Morgan on Raw, and then Steph Fakur came out, and like, is that going to be a match at Backlash, like WrestleMania Backlash?
Oh, yeah. I'd rather see her against Becky, to be honest.
Give her another 7 minutes, like.
Oh, stop with the 7 minutes. Who cares? It was a good match for 7 minutes.
Was it though? It was 3 minutes of interference.
So what? That's what the Judgment Day does. Mm. Heels got to heal, bro. Not everything could be a straight up win and a loss like AEW, unless you got a fucking ring on your pinky. sorry, HK's not here. I had to throw the dig.
No, you're good.
Did you guys watch SmackDown? Was because I didn't watch, but in everything I saw, was Randy Orton even on it or mentioned?
I don't know. I didn't watch much, but what did Tiffy beat Julia on SmackDown?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that's all opener. I know that happened on SmackDown. Really? Oh, and the MFT thing with Jacob and the Usos.
Yeah.
They were offering
Fatal Influence showed up, and
they made a big influence on SmackDown.
And so who did they influence?
They interfered in the tag title match. I believe it was Paige and Brie against Charlotte and Alexa, and they destroyed that. And then JC went after Rhea Ripley. So, big splash.
JC Mateo went after Rhea Ripley?
Who?
JC Mateo.
No, JC Jane.
Oh, JC Jane. JC.
Yeah. JC. Booker T says, JC Jane.
Was he saying, yeah, man?
Yeah, basically.
Wait, what, Booker T was doing commentary on SmackDown?
No, 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 in NXT.
Oh.
Anytime he said her name.
And then they're bringing up Blake Monroe and Ricky Saints. Oh, and Joe Hendry's going to be on Raw tonight, too.
Yep, he's got a concert.
Ugh. Oh God, who's gonna break up the concert? Me. Please let it be Danhausen. Please let him curse.
No.
Fucking.
Who would break up that concert? Probably Dominic Mysterio.
Oh God, you think they're gonna go there?
Is he even on Raw? Right? Oh God.
Yeah, he is.
I just the Joe Hendry thing was fun last year. Like now, like I don't know. I don't know.
It's just annoying.
It's stupid.
Yep.
You're the guy that does comedy, but then you got Danhausen. Danhausen does comedy a fucking zillion times better than fucking Joe Hendry. A zillion times better.
Yeah.
Yeah. But going back to the Randy thing, like, he closed a WrestleMania destroying the champion and holding up that belt. And, like, where the fuck was he? If I'm wrong, let me know in the comments or whatnot. But
no, because they pivoted to CM Punk walking out there with Cody, and Cody kind of made it seem like CM Punk was a loser anyway, right?
He was on night two.
Yeah, it was weird. The thing on Monday was weird with him.
Well, unless they're just sowing the early seeds of Cody, you know, like I know everybody's been talking about Cody turning heel at some point. I don't know how much face versus face Cody and Punk would, you know, be without somebody turning heel. So who knows?
Yep. Hey, remember when the punt used to put you out for a couple of weeks?
Well, it almost fucking put his eye out of his head.
Yeah.
Quite the shiner on Raw.
Fuck yeah.
Now what, Rhea's on SmackDown? She went over there?
Yeah. She's on SmackDown because she's their champ now.
All right. Did you see Rhea and Damian Priest and Ron Cena reenacted their photo when they were with the Judgment Day?
Oh, that's great. Up the
belts. So like when R-Truth was sneaking in the Judgment Day, it was Damian and Rhea holding up the world titles, and then R-Truth snuck in there with the tag belt.
No, that was the 24/7 belt.
Was it?
I think Dominic might have had like the NXT North American title at that point too.
Yeah, so it was the three of them, and then so they reposed, but now it's Damian and R-Truth with the tag belts, and Mommy with the world title.
I mean, so I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Maybe we don't love, or people don't love the releases.
Some of them, for sure.
They released a shitload of people.
They always do.
This seems like way more than they usually do. 23 is a lot, no?
Maybe.
I mean, they have a lot of people under contract between, you know, LFG or whatever the hell it is, Evolve contracts, ID contracts, NXT, and then all the people on the main roster. I mean, I guess you got to trim the fat somehow, but some of that fat didn't make a lot of sense.
Well, I mean, like, we don't need to go through the whole list unless you want to, if you think it's important, but...
I mean, I don't think no disrespect to the boys and girls of NXT, like, I don't know any of these fucking names.
Well, you know Andre Chase, that was Harlem Bravado.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's the only one, now that I look at the list again, yes.
Yeah, that was the only one that stood out to me, really.
Tyra May Steele was kind of surprising because she just won that LFG show or whatever, and then they just... You know, she's been on NXT a few times, and then they just cut bait.
Yeah, but then, like, dude, I didn't realize Apollo Crews was there for fucking 11 years.
Jeez.
What has he been doing? Has he been on NXT? Like, has he...
He popped up somewhere recently. I think, like, main event or something like that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, like, never... Maybe on SmackDown in the last year or something like that. I don't know. He hasn't done anything like huge since he was in NXT.
No.
They released the whole Wyatt Six.
You know what? Whatever. To me, whatever. And I don't like, everybody's like, oh, they just didn't know how to write for them. It's like, I don't know. What else can you fucking do with this group? Like, this group was kind of dead when it first got together. Like, oh, it was cool. It's like, it's Uncle Howdy and Bray Wyatt and blah, blah, blah. But, like, you can't fucking string along a gimmick just based on that, you know?
Yeah, no, there wasn't. Yeah, there was no meat on the bone after they did that, right?
There really wasn't. Yeah.
So like, I mean, they started off murdering everybody on Raw.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Where do you but then go from that?
Yeah, it's like how, like you're gonna murder the entire roster.
Yeah.
No, seriously, like where do you go with that? Like you can't, like the unstoppable forces just doesn't work. It doesn't.
The Kerry Sane was pretty wild.
I think that's the only one that I was like super surprised with. Like that one was a head scratcher because she was involved with everything going into Mania. She had a storyline with Asuka, and everybody seemed to like Kairi. She's been on TV like every fucking week. So they just fucking have Asuka abuse her, and then they fucking cut her loose. Like what the fuck?
Yeah, she got. Didn't she get pinned on Raw? Was she the one that got pinned on Raw?
Probably because it was a tag match, wasn't it?
Yeah. Rhea, like Aleister Black and Zelina Vega. The Aleister Black thing, like, I don't know, what do you make it a year there? Like, and apparently, like, if you believe the scuttlebutt, like they AEW does not want him back. Apparently, he is not well liked in the locker room.
Well, maybe that was the issue here. I mean, like, look, I get the whole thing happening with like Pat McAfee and whatnot, but if you had higher hopes for the guy, you would think even beside that they would find something else for him. But maybe they were just like, you know what?
He beat Randy Orton like a month before Mania, and then apparently all those like Cody Rhodes Jelly Roll segments where there's like a dark figure in the background. Apparently that was Aleister Black. Like he was supposed to be a main cog in this Randy Orton story, but then they, as Tony mentioned, pivoted to Pat McAfee. Now he gone.
Just an aside, do you think they're trying to set up some sort of storyline between WWE and TKO? Like just the way everybody's been talking about it, like the way Cody addressed it, the way Punk addressed it. You think they're like planting something there for some sort of like everything coming to a head, or do you think it's just like Triple H is like sending a message to them, like, hey, keep your hands off?
It wouldn't surprise me. But I mean, like, who are you going to use for TKO? Is it going to be like War Games of Punk and Cody, and they're going to fight Jelly Roll and Pat McAfee and fucking Travis Scott and all this?
No, maybe we get some fucking UFC guys come in.
Ugh. Yeah, that works so well in AEW when they had the Dan Lambert group. Let's do fucking that.
Yeah, that's a great question, Tony.
I don't know. Like, look, like, How many guys in UFC are really do this like into their 30s or even?
No idea. I couldn't tell you. I had this conversation with the professor the other day. Like, he was like, TKO ruined UFC. I'm like, I couldn't tell you anybody that fights in the UFC now. I don't know a single fucking fighter, a champion. I don't watch the UFC. I have no interest to watch the UFC.
Well, doesn't TKO also like own some sort of rodeo company as well?
Yes.
Maybe we get a bunch of cowboys against.
When's Billy Gunn's contract up?
Nobody wants that. It is interesting though, Tony, that you bring it up because like it became like a part of the Pat McAfee, Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes story to the point where even fucking Pepsi Phil's cutting promos about the high ticket prices, and now like. Mixed reports are coming out, like Zelina Vega saying like a TKO called her to tell her that she was getting released, and then like there's other reports like TKO made the decisions or that it was Nick Khan and Triple H that made the decisions. Like there's so many reports out there.
Maybe all these people that got released are going to be the TKO faction.
That'd be horrendous. There's not even a big name on here.
Kyrie the Wyatt 6KO.
Yeah, like who would lead them? Fucking Apollo. No offense. Like Apollo Crews, who hasn't been on my TV in a zillion years.
Aleister Black, he's got a win over Randy Orton.
And now they're going to be, I mean, you would assume Randy Orton would be Team TKO, right?
It's like WCW coming in and it's fucking Mike Awesome and Lance Storm leading the charge.
Fucking Mark Chindrack.
Maybe they do that. Maybe they bring TKO back and then Randy Orton flips and he becomes the leader of the TKO faction.
Can't have KO without RKO.
Oh my God. Brundo, fucking book it.
Or what about Kevin Owens?
Write that shit down, bro. Ooh, that would be
even
fucking...
better.
Oh, Kevin Owens? Bro, the KO and the RKO? Fuck yeah. TKO, RKO, just fucking KO without the R? Holy shit. Get Dave LaGreca on the phone. I think we got it.
Is it so good all luck. These people get released, but there's like nowhere to go.
A-dubs.
AEW. That's basically
GCW. AEW. Next year's clusterfuck's gonna be awesome.
I mean, look,
MLW. These
people, yeah, these
JCW.
People, yeah, I guess. I mean, you can't go. TNA seems like a fucking parallel move because fucking WWE just fucking runs that. So,
yeah,
maybe they go to AAA.
AAA.
WWE. WWE, buddy.
Doesn't matter. Sorry, it's
Undertaker's running the show down there. That's why he's not on LFG this year, Tony.
Oh, speaking of Undertaker, that's what I thought about earlier before we had his lordship join us. I watched a bit of that Kill Tony special from WrestleMania.
Oh, that's available somewhere?
It's on Netflix.
Oh, no shit.
So, look, I've seen clips of the Kill Tony show on, like, Facebook, YouTube. When Shane What's-His-Nuts was doing, like, when they were doing the Trump and Biden impressions, that was some of the funniest shit on that show. But to be honest with you, like, if that's what Kill Tony is, it's not a great show from what I saw at WrestleMania. I don't know. And Jeffrey Ross was one of the guests. Well, and Jeffrey Ross is a funny dude.
Yes, he is.
It's like the fucking Matt Rife, right? All those clips that are online are funny, but then I watched his special on Netflix. And I was like, this kid's not funny.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of what it is.
Right, what you see online, those like 2-minute, 30-second clips are funny, but like, I don't know, how long is a Kill Tony show? 2 hours? Hour 30?
Yeah, but like the ones I've seen, like typically Joe Rogan's on the panel, and it's like a comedian that I know that's up there on the mic, and they're all fucking with each other. But like just watching this, and like The Undertaker, like I get it, he's out of his element, but he sat on the panel. He fucking offered nothing. Like he brought nothing to the show.
Oh, like
put Danhausen up there. Let him fucking get in some zingers. You know what I'm saying?
We didn't even talk about it last week when we talked about WrestleMania. Like when they put the third guy in the booth for that championship match, he didn't say a fucking
word.
Yeah,
what the fuck? Like how much money did he drop to be able to sit there at fucking ringside?
A fucking lot, I guess.
He's like some like gar. He's like some.
He's like a crypto guy.
Yeah, he's an entrepreneur from New York City. Yeah, like
what the fuck? Bro, we got to start a GoFundMe to get fucking Matt to sit at WrestleMania's fucking commentary table.
He didn't say a funny as shit. Word.
He had a headset on. He just didn't have a microphone.
They introduced him. They put the fucking scroll on the screen. Like, and then he just sat there like a fucking dope.
See, this is bad. Like, there's ways for them to make money, like selling ads and shit like that. But just to have some fucking random dickhead sitting at ringside at the commentary table? Come on. And then God forbid some asshole fucking put his opponent through a table and this fucking slob gets his leg broken or something because he's not paying attention. I heard he was texting the whole time while the fucking match was going on.
I don't even know if we talked about it. Like the coat, you could, what was it, like 10 G's to get the Cody Rhodes bus tour? It's a fucking bus.
You don't get to have some of his fucking Wheatley vodka while you're on
there? Yeah, it's like when you go to fucking Anheuser-Busch in St. Louis. When the tour's over, you get a fucking shot glass full of fucking vodka.
Maybe they give you a bottle for 10 grand.
Did they ever come out with the prices for WWF Plus or whatever the hell that was?
No, I don't. That's a great question, Brendo. I didn't see anything. I didn't.
What is that?
It's like their new, like... They created it like the Friday going into WrestleMania. It's like WWF or something weird.
That was it. Club WWF.
Oh, you mentioned this, and we were like, I thought it was like heels.
Yeah, you gotta sign up to go on the waiting list.
But for what?
I'm really curious now.
This has piqued my interest.
Your premium benefits include exclusive ticket presale access, early access to merchandise, and tailored perks at the events. So great. Kit Wilson calls you toxic, and then you go sit in your third row or some shit.
Am I coming in clear? Because I think Double T froze, and then Brundo froze for a while. Maybe it's on me.
No, I hear you good.
We're good.
Okay. All right. Yeah, internet's wonky tonight. I don't know why.
Yeah, mine was too during the Lord's our
Lord. Well, I'm only fucking paying for a gigabyte of fucking bandwidth from Verizon. Why would it ever fuck up? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's just another way for them to make fucking money.
Yep.
They are fucking greedy little piggies. Greedy, greedy, greedy little piggies.
I mean, I guess.
Come on, dude.
What? Tony, I didn't fucking do it.
We couldn't. We paid individually for a suite at an AEW show less than it cost to get into WrestleMania.
Individually, no. Like, for the entire box, it was cheaper than a ticket to WrestleMania.
Like, I just don't. I don't know. I'm not in business. I just don't know how you price people out.
I mean, 50 some odd thousand people each night fucking found a way to buy tickets. And that's the problem. People spent the money, so they're not going to fucking change anything.
Yeah.
It probably made more money for them at the 50K that they sold than if they would have kept the prices reasonable and sold out the place. They probably made more money.
I don't know. And then if you figure people buying merch, they got that superstore down there. Like, they had to make money fucking hand over fist.
Yep.
It's never enough, bro.
I guess not. Sit in that fucking stadium and watch fucking an hour and 10 minutes of ads. Eat a shit. WWE.
Oh, I saw a post.
Oh.
People were complaining that a water bottle was $25.
I mean, Jesus. That's I would complain about that too.
And a personal pizza was like $41. Fuck out. Oh, and tomahawk steaks. I don't know how much they go for, but apparently they were selling them for like $150.
Actually, that's not terrible. Tomahawk steaks are usually like at least like $90 to $100.
Yeah, but they probably serve it to you like you're sitting there like you're eating a turkey leg at fucking Disney World. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
the way you're supposed to eat it, though.
Yeah, but you're going to
be pissed without the bone.
Yeah, but don't you get it at a restaurant and like you sit there with a knife and a fork? Like, you're not picking some this
fucking
thing up.
Oh, yeah.
Underpaid fucking assholes makes you a fucking tomahawk steak at a football stadium. It's not like some Michelin five-star chef is making it.
Good point.
Fucking guy probably just sticks the fucking meat thermometer in it to make sure it's cooked medium a zillion times, and all the fucking juice goes out of the stupid thing.
Sticks the thermometer right back up his ass.
Here, high-end premium items. A $42.99 three-count burger, which was made of Wagyu sausage and pork, and a $142 42-ounce tomahawk steak. That seems like a big fucking steak, no?
That is a big fucking steak.
So you're better off just getting a fucking tomahawk and buying all the other shit, right?
42. Well, I mean, that's like almost a 2-pound steak.
Yeah, the water bottle price couldn't have been right because it says Bud Lights were $14, IPAs were $20, and mixed drinks were like $20.
I do know I saw something where the Las Vegas area had jacked up the price of like. They were price gouging, so like a lot of the independent shows didn't have water there for the workers because it was like fucking like $30 for a case of water.
Well, I mean, not to mention, but the World Cup is coming to our area. The finals of the World Cup it's going to be in our backyard.
Bro, I hope you can work from home. That's all I'm saying. Both of you.
You're not allowed to drive to the stadium, which is the New York, New Jersey stadium now instead of MetLife because reasons. But there's no parking at the stadium. You have to take a shuttle from another parking lot, or you have to take the train. And get this, a round trip from the stadium to Penn Station in New York City is normally like $13. For this, they're charging $150. And to go to the stadium, you have to have proof of a ticket to the game. And on top of that, my brother, Uncle Danny, told me, within a 15-mile radius of the stadium for those 6 weeks, sales tax is going up to 10%. 10% sales tax. You could go to my flower shop and buy flowers for your girlfriend, for your wife, for a wedding, for a funeral, and if they're going to bang you, we have to bang you 10% sales tax. And it has nothing to do with going to the fucking soccer games. Nothing whatsoever.
It's going to be a complete...
What the fuck?
Complete nightmare. No tailgating. They don't want any... They want you in and out.
Yeah.
No.
FIFA is never going to come back to the United States. And this is only here. I can't imagine what they're doing anywhere else. And there's games in Canada and games in Mexico as well.
I don't get it. I don't get it, man.
And if you want to park at the mall, like it's gonna be super expensive to park there. Could you imagine you just want to go to the mall on a Sunday with your family, maybe do some shopping? The kids need some summer clothes to go on vacation. You're going down the shore. Maybe Bobby needs a new pair of shorts. You want to go to the mall and you're surrounded by 80,000 fucking jackaloons trying to get to a soccer match?
No,
what
thank
the
you.
Fuck.
I just Googled just to see. I was like, I was hoping I was 10 miles from East Rutherford, but
nope. Not even close. Manhattan isn't even 10, 15 miles from East Rutherford. It probably stretches into fucking Queens and Brooklyn. I mean, it doesn't matter because it's New Jersey sales tax, yeah. But you know, 15 miles is a big fucking radius.
I'm going to be doing my shopping far away.
It's 15 times pi, people. Remember fucking geometry?
Nope.
That's a big fucking radius.
Nuts.
That fucking might, dude, that might reach like where fucking Diana lives. That's how far away that shit goes. Here, wait. I can do this. 15-mile radius from East Rutherford, New Jersey. Let's see. There's a website that shows these maps. Here we go. Map radius calculator.
Local news, people.
No, but it just gives you an idea of like how fucked they're going to do everything, right?
Yeah.
Here, 15 miles from East Rutherford. Dude, it practically goes to Parsippany. Like, that's how far it fucking goes.
Not Morristown, though, right?
No, it doesn't get out there. But, dude, it's like the entirety of Bergen County. Like, fucking Mahwah, Alpine, like, everything's in there.
Oh, my God.
It's nuts. It goes all the way down to Elizabeth. Nice. Bayonne, in there. Jersey City, in there. Elizabeth, Union, the Oranges. Fucking everything.
Gross. What's worse, that or WWE signing evil?
Everything is evil.
Not for long. They'll probably change his name to fucking Despicable or something.
Let's see where it goes, bro.
Yeah. He's a good wrestler. Maybe they just maybe he sheds the house of torture. We get a couple of good things from
him. Oh my God. I hope he brings the whole house with him.
No, dear God, no.
Yeah.
I want to see Jado and Gato and all those guys running around.
The return of Dick to Go.
Oh, my God. Dick to Go with Evil? Yo, their tag team name will be Evil Dick to Go. It'd be like the Colossal Connection of Japan.
Nah, he's going to come in with some fucking dumb fucking name, and he's just going to be... I don't know. I have no desire. I can't even tell you the last time I watched NXT.
It's been a while.
I can't tell you the last time I watched New Japan.
I'm in the same boat. Same boat with you. I'll tell you what I did watch, though. I watched Dynamite on Wednesday.
Dynamite! Yeah, I heard Dobby and Ciampa had a fucking banger.
Oh, they did. They fucking did.
Dude, if the goal of AEW is to let Darby defend the title every Wednesday until the next pay-per-view, I will be impressed if he makes it to the next pay-per-view.
Yeah, he's going to wind up in the hospital.
And B, like, fucking good for them, man. Have your world champion on TV every week defending the title, like...
Oh, not good.
Why?
Not good, because your world champion should be a fucking special attraction. He should be a special attraction. If anything, this should help Darby recover a little bit, because then he doesn't have to do all this shit on TV as much.
Yeah, but maybe Darby, as the world champion, doesn't want to sit back. He wants to be out there. He wants to fight. I'm the champion now. I want everybody to have a shot. And
yeah, but I agree with
that's his mindset.
But I agree with Double T. Like you can't work like this every fucking week and expect
it's gonna
to
come
able
back
to
and fuck him in the ass. It's gonna come back and get him.
That's do you think sure. some? Do you think somebody needs to step in on his behalf and kind of like you need to slow down and we're going to slow you down?
I don't know if somebody even can.
I mean, look at Mick Foley. He's a fucking cripple, and he doesn't do half of the shit that he's that Darby's doing on a fucking weekly basis.
Did you see what he did against the Invisible Man?
Who, Mick Foley? No, I couldn't. No. But it's what not a fucking Canadian destroyer.
He should have. Somebody did.
It's not. But like, this is who they signed up for, right? Before AEW signed him, he was doing crazy shit in Evolve. He's doing the crazy skateboard videos. Like, this has always been Darby Allin in AEW with this fucking crazy nonsense, right? Didn't they put him in a fucking body bag and kick him down the stairs at the fucking stadium?
Yeah.
Yep. I always remember him getting the his hands like either handcuffed or zip tied behind him and just landing on him. I'm like, how did he not break both wrists? Yeah. Ethan Page doing that to him.
Who was it? It was Get My Shit In, fucking asshole.
Brian Cage.
He put him in the body bag and rolled it. What's going on with him lately? Is he still under AEW contract?
He had another surgery, I think, recently.
He
should be almost back again.
We got to get AEW contracts. We have to figure that shit out. We really do.
Yeah, well, you and HK need to stop taking hot steaming dumps on them every chance you get. And if you start there, wait until we're at least signed.
No, it'll be that's the thing. Kiss his ass, get signed, talk shit, and then just sit home.
Yeah, he steals your weed and then you get fired.
And you go hey, on.
What's Big Swole up to these days? Is she working? I got to Google Big Swole.
Jake Hager did that slap thing, and then when he fucking knocked the guy out, he was like, fuck Tony Khan.
He is such a fucking hand job.
Good, but you know what? This is exactly where the hand job belongs. He's going to do quite well in fucking slap fighting.
I can't wait till somebody slaps his fucking face. I hope he puts on the dumb hat. Somebody slaps him off.
He's got a very slappable face, and that's what's going to bring people to fucking watch that.
Good point.
I do like the idea of Darby defending the title every week.
I don't think he's going to have a long reign, so it's going to play into it. Storylines, bro.
I don't either. I like that MJF is going like he's aggravated, he's frustrated, he got, you know, to the fucking, he lost at his own game, and he complained about getting hit in the nards, and then fucking here comes Kevin Knight. AEW is very high on Kevin Knight. You're going to give me Kevin Knight and MJF on Wednesday? Like, I'm here for it.
Kevin Knight looks like a fucking star, too. Like, I think by 2027, he's going to be world champion. If he keeps at this.
I'm not against it. I like it. The Jericho going to the Hurt Syndicate? Different. They're not friends, but he found somebody else who hates Ricochet. Like, I'm okay with that.
Didn't work, but yeah. I didn't watch Collision. I didn't see how it
different. It's different though. You know, it's different. The weird, you know, whatever's going on with Cheetah match wasn't great on Wednesday night. Cheetah and Mina Shirakawa.
It was a pretty beautiful match.
No, it wasn't. They were like, there were spots that were clunky and they were slow. I didn't
mean the match quality.
But even like the finish, and Cheetah got fat. I'll say it. I don't give a shit. She don't look right.
Don't shame her.
I'm not shaming her. What else happened on Dynamite? Oh, fucking Darby and Tommaso was fucking awesome.
I thought Tommaso broke his ass when he gave him that air raid crash to the outside. He just started bouncing around, and he grabs the ref, and they go right to commercial. I was like, oh, fuck, that's it for him. But I guess thought
Tommaso was going to fucking win the title.
It was close.
It's close. Fucking Brody King. Leo Rush is unique. That character, it's like, fits him really well. Brody King gets a big win there. Fucking Mark Davis beating Will Ospreay by referee stoppage. Made perfect fucking sense.
I fucking love that. Mark Davis looked like a murderer. I love it.
But should Mark Davis be beating Will Ospreay?
Well, there's a way to... That's the way to push Mark Davis up to the next level. He beats the shit out of a star like Will Ospreay.
Come back, slay the dragon. You know, Joe's back. That's cool, I guess. I don't know. I don't really care for the ops.
Anthony Bones is in the oops now.
Good. Well, they had to replace what's his nuts.
Will Hobbs. Will Hobbs.
Yeah.
Hobbs, yeah. I like Dynamite. I didn't get the catch collision.
Aw.
Well, I wanted to watch, though. I heard it looked like there were some great, good matches on there. Your girl Bathrika was on there.
Oh, wonderful. What time was that on?
Like 8 o'clock on Saturday night.
Yeah. Glad I missed it.
It's not nice.
She didn't win Guest of the Year, so I don't give a shit.
Oh, Kate won, right? Did we announce that?
Yeah, Kate won. Yes.
Kate won. Good for Kate.
With 5 votes. Thanks. Thanks, X. X gave it to me, all right. DMX was on to something.
X going to give it to me.
Right in my fucking asshole.
Oh, what? The people are speculating. Machine guns are going to end up there in AEW?
Yeah, get them in there quick so they can fucking wind up in that ladder match they're doing with Copy Cage. Cagey Cope.
Got to wait 90 days for that.
Do you guys get ads on social media for the fucking plank thing that they're selling, Cope and Cage?
I think that's just Cage's thing.
No, Cope's on there too.
Yeah, but I think Cage invented it.
Okay, so Cope is using it though.
Yeah, look at my abs.
Fuck yeah.
No, they know my abs are a lost cause. Don't even bother with those ads. I have to draw them on like Jim Neihardt.
No, you don't draw them on. You shave your belly hair.
Yeah. You're right.
Hey, Crowbar did the same thing. So Jim Neihardt was onto something. He was a fucking pioneer.
Maybe I'll do that one day.
What, Jim Neihardt? He's dead.
No. Shave the abs.
Do it. Do it. Shave a big B in your chest hair, too, for Brunda. I could probably shave it in my back hair in another couple weeks. I got a fresh shearing before I went to Florida.
No, I definitely can. I as soon as my hair went away from here, it all went down here.
Oh, yeah. It's like the fucking mullet that keeps on giving.
That's sexy.
Fuck yeah, skullet.
Hey, before we do a blonde ranking, did you guys... Brundo put in the notes, but I want to know if you saw it. The fucking Lucha Underground teaser video.
I did not see the teaser video, but I heard it was a possibility it might come back. Was this real?
Friday, this whoever runs the social media for Lucha Underground tweeted out a short video featuring a Lucha mask followed by the words Mas, and the post was captioned soon. And all the people that worked there and didn't get paid and whatever fucking happened with Lucha Underground were like, what the fuck is going on here?
I did like, who was it that said they had a character for it?
The Butcher. The Butcher said, no, come on in.
Yeah. Where is it?
AJ Francis?
Yeah. El Dinero? Yeah. I'd be good with that.
Man, I did enjoy
Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
I don't think they could capture the magic twice, but I fucking loved it when it was out. But I don't think it would be the same without like the Mil Muertes or Puma or, you know, Dario Cueto.
Right. Dario Cueto's in MLW, right? That's still.
Yeah. Funny. Yeah.
All right, MLW TV, the TV show's coming back, isn't it?
Yeah, they're having a taping in June, I believe.
Okay. Oh, God, 6 hours sitting next to Phil. Sign me up.
It's in New York.
Fuck yeah, Hammerstein's?
No, it's got to be like La Boom or something.
Yeah, I think it's in Brooklyn.
What's the place on the west side of Manhattan where they had the Cibernetico?
Oh, God.
You know, the one with the balcony? It was like a bunch of Chikar and other shows were there.
Oh, was that
because Ring of Honor ran a show. It wasn't where they had the Cibernetico, but they used to run pay-per-views at Terminal 5.
Was that it?
It wasn't Terminal 5.
That was where the Ring of Honor pay-per-view was with the balconies.
Yeah.
We went to that Cibernetico, Tony. We sat on the stage.
I remember I was there.
But I don't think it was like a serious venue.
No, there's been other shows that have been there. Like, I know, like, I've seen footage of other shows there. It just says that the ninth annual Torneo Cibernético took place November 8th, 2012 in Manhattan, New York. Who calls it Manhattan, New York? What the fuck?
The Highline Ballroom.
There you go. I just remember there was a Western Beef supermarket outside the place. I used to love, like, was that on a Saturday or Sunday? Because I remember I left work for a couple hours just to go check out the show, and then I went back to work.
That was a Saturday because I believe Survivor Series was the next day.
Wait, what year was that? 2017?
No.
No, it wasn't 2017. 2007? No, wait. Hold
2012,
on.
Tony.
2012. All right, fine. I was 5 years off. Hey, Harlem Bravado. Dude, that match was so stacked, too.
That was the Ring of Honor one, right?
Dude, yes.
Yeah. I know we talked about it before, but Jesus Christ. Eddie Kingston, 3.0, Tim Donst, Gran Akuma, Frightmare Hollow Wicked Ultramantis, Kevin Steen, the Bravados, the Briscoes, the Jacksons, and Jimmy Jacobs.
It was actually the same day as Survivor Series. It was in the afternoon, and then we all went home and watched the Survivor Series.
It's fucking nuts.
Yeah, and I don't. The Shikara footage is very hard to find now.
Mike Quackenbush's wife probably still owns it all and won't put it out there because he's a douche.
Brando, were you?
Were you listening?
Well, that's when we had booked. What was her name? Hanaya.
The Howling Huntress.
And we were completely oblivious to what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was all rumor and innuendo.
So it was Tony by himself that did the interview.
And I asked her what it was like working with Quack.
Was this right after the Me Too?
No.
No, this was long before that.
Apparently the story is Mike Quackenbush cheated on his wife with her, and that's why Shikara took like a 1 year
break. Yes. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, but I don't think we had connected.
I don't think it was known yet that that had happened.
Right. No. Yeah, there was just rumors of why. I remember because I did watch Chikara and follow it. There was just rumors of like, why is it gone? And they had all these other like Chikara adjacent shows, like wrestling is fun and shit like wrestling that, is real. Wrestling is, you know, cheaters, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, but we had Hanaya on because she walked out of something or she quit something. Wasn't that the thing? Like she had walked out on a show or a promotion or some shit. Or she refused a job to somebody. I thought they brought I don't remember. I don't remember the specifics, but I do remember that there was some sort of issue with her working on a show.
Hmm.
Hanaya the Howling Huntress.
She fired from Impact. She was fired from Impact in 2018 after she refused to do a 90-second job.
That was it.
Was that it?
Been it? Because when did we interview her?
I got to
do some digging.
They were definitely gone in 2018, I believe.
I can find it. It's going to take me a minute. That's all. So you guys talk amongst yourselves. I've still got access to the archive, people.
Awesome. I just threw it in the search bar to see if it came up.
Oh, it didn't come up here. What the fuck?
I have it in the master. Hold on. Give me one second. I'll look it up.
The masturbator?
In the master. Yes, the masturbator.
It didn't come up in any of the descriptions. Maybe our descriptions weren't that good back then.
Our descriptions were fucking awful, Tony. I know, because I fucking went through them when I did this master list. It was a fucking nightmare to do. Hold on. I'm going to pull it up, see where we could find this. And then we'll get into Brundo's got a blind rankings, and we got some homework to talk about. Just give me a second while this fucking opens up. My computer is like as hot as the sun right now.
I wonder how many times Mike Quackenbush would wrestle on his shows.
Many.
Yeah. He was definitely an ice cream cone.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably an ant. I think a goat.
Goat. Let's see here. All right, let's see.
I don't even have her listed on former guests. Why not? Did I take her down? Did I take it down?
She did show up. When I searched, she did come up as rocking the t-shirts. Hanaya the Howling Huntress. Are you spelling Hanaya right?
Yeah, H-A-N-I-A. Why is it like we didn't wipe her from the archive, did we?
No, why would we?
I don't know, because she's not on our former guest list. She's not on the website. Like, she's not.
Was she on a show with David Starr?
No, because even though it's not there, like it would be hidden in the meta.
So oh, okay.
I'd be able to find it.
Mm-hmm.
God.
All right, I'm getting a 2018.
I'm searching Chikara now. Maybe it's somewhere else. Oh, God, Frantic. Remember him?
Yes. I was your guy.
Me, myself, and Jigsaw? What? Really?
Yeah, it was. I think it was just me and Jigsaw. I do not see her in here at all. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't see her either. Did we, was this a fever dream? Did we not interview her?
No, you 100% interviewed her.
And it was me by myself?
Yes.
Good Lord.
I just don't know where, how long ago it was.
Look at that.
Oh, Hanaya, what does Quack's dick taste like?
Oh, come on now.
No, you fuck be, no. Don't be fresh, Brundlefly. Man, all right. I'm gonna have to go back and see where I missed her. Excuse me.
So I searched for Hanaya on Pro Wrestling Wiki. The suggested it on the Explore side. It suggests the very first name, Bathrika.
What the fuck?
All right.
It might be on our Facebook as to when she was on the show, because we probably promoted it.
Yeah, but that would be the Matthew Bowman podcast. Remember that debacle?
Yeah, I thought we moved everything over.
No, things did some things.
Things didn't make it. Oh, this is riveting. Sorry, guys, that you have to listen to this.
No, it was kind of important, you know. Bro, in Facebook, I put in Hanaya Shining Wizards. Fucking first hit, episode 752, boom roasted. Guess who the guest was? What the fuck?
She was not on that show.
No, but it's Bathrika.
Yeah. She wasn't even wrestling then.
Oh, my God. Oh, and my picture holding up the fucking World Maccabi Championship is another.
I love that picture.
Matt's text of dude run. It still fucking makes me chuckle to this day.
You should've.
I know. I really should have. I showed that belt so much more respect.
You certainly did.
Oh, shit. I have that fucking Maccabi Mania shirt hanging on my wall.
I have the poster on my wall.
Fuck yeah. All right. Can we play some games with Brundlefly?
Yes, Brundlefly, you have a blind ranking for us.
I certainly do. I decided to go with ranking your top five favorite fake places where wrestlers are from. So a hometown that is not a real hometown, really. I did not go with parts unknown because that's like a million people's parts unknown is their hometowns.
So fake hometowns, you mean like a completely made up hometown or a hometown that the wrestler's not really from?
Yeah, the hometown that the wrestler's not really from.
Okay. All right. I'm picking up what you're putting down. I kind of like this one.
Yep.
I kind of like this one, Brundlefly. Good call.
All right. So we are going to start with the last house on the left, Balls Mahoney.
See, I always thought he was from Nutley, New Jersey.
I think originally he was the last house in the left. Or was that the Shaw?
That was.
Oh, I fucked it. Yeah, I fucked it up already.
Wait, that was the.
That was Hack Myers.
Yeah. Because somebody asked him, like, Nutley, and they asked him if he fucking, like, lived off of Washington Avenue, and he's like, dude, it's a fucking gimmick. Nutley the balls.
It's not somebody. Really... It was me.
Oh, it was you?
And I said, at the ECW show in Trenton on the fucking baseball field, and I said, yo, balls, I was on Franklin Avenue, Nutley. That was it. Right. And he went, it's a fucking gimmick, bro.
See, I knew he was from New Jersey, too, and for years I thought he was from Nutley as well.
Spring Lake.
Fucking yeah, Nutley. That's right.
All right, so last house on the left.
Hack Myers.
Hack Myers. I kind of dig it. I'm putting it low just because I think I have some ideas of where Brundlefly might be going. Go ahead, Double T.
Although, when he was Boo Bradley in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, he also may have been from the house, last house on the left, because that is a One Flew Over the To Kill a Mockingbird reference, isn't it?
That's true.
But someone was from the house, last house on the left. Excuse me, Tony. Back to your explanation as to where you're putting this. I'm sorry.
Here we go. He was from the South Pole as Santa Claus, Nutley, New Jersey as Balls Mahoney, and Asbury Park as Boo Bradley.
Oh, okay. So it was Hack Myers.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I probably took the South Pole away from Brundo.
No, you didn't. You're good.
Fuck. I'm putting it at number four. I have a feeling I know some of the ones that you've got in the hopper there. And I kind of dig Last House on the Left. It's kind of a cool kind of place. So I'm going to go with that at number four.
I'm going to go lower, Tony. I'm going to put the Last House on the Left at two.
Lower or higher?
That would be higher, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Higher?
Shit.
Higher than four is five, no?
No, lower than four is five. Because it's lower on the list.
All right. You're right. I'm an idiot. So I'm going lower.
Write that down, bud, though. It'd be funny to read it later.
I'm going Hack Myers 2, Last House on the Left.
All right. Next. From the outer reaches of your mind.
Oh, I love it.
DeMonto.
Fuck yeah, dude. Love it.
Man, from the outer reaches of your mind. That's a fucking good one.
That really is a good one.
Just don't call him a jobber.
You know, I tried to get him on the show.
Oh, really?
I think I'm Facebook friends with him.
He was pretty close for years with the WrestleCrap guys, too.
Yeah,
he did their show a few times.
I you know what? I'm gonna put Damian Demento at three.
Really?
Yeah, because I feel like Brundo's gonna. He's like, to your point, Tony. He's got something.
I'm going number five.
Oh,
wow!
I still think that Brundo's got some fucking heavy artillery he's gonna fire at us for the other three. I love it. I love the location. I think there's better out there, and I think better's coming.
All right. Next, Cactus Jack, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
It fits the gimmick so well.
It really did. Yeah. Such a cool place to be from.
Yeah, instead of like fucking Garden City, Long Island, or wherever the fuck he's really from. Fucking this murderous fucking animal, Cactus Jack, from a fucking Jewish neighborhood in Long Island. That'll go over well. I'm surprised he changed his fucking hometown. I'm putting Cactus Jack at number three.
Wow, I'm going number one with Cactus Jack.
Really?
Wow.
Yes, yes.
Maybe
I'm
gambling too much here.
I don't want to get stuck with, like, I don't know, like from wherever fucking Big Josh was from, or one of the fucking dumb clowns from the circus. Like, I don't want that at number one.
But you see, like, you consider that like a detriment. Like, to me, that's in my fucking wheelhouse. I'd be more than happy with a crazy place like that at number one or number two.
Yeah, no. Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. Great for Cactus Jack. My number one.
Okay.
All right. So next, we are going with good old Firebreaker Chip. WCW Special Forces.
See, I like that one. I like that one a lot.
You like it enough to put it at one or two?
Yeah, you know what? We're going number two because I feel like Brundo's got a fucking real hot one coming out of the fucking chamber for that last one. What was that WCW Special Forces?
Special Forces.
Jesus Christ.
Not even a fucking place.
Sure it is.
Oh, and the outer reaches of your mind is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Firebreaker Jim is fucking number five for me. Fuck you and your Special Forces, you fucking hand job.
Dude, Special Forces. Could you imagine he came to the ring with his Special Forces?
He's a fucking firefighter. Like? He's a first responder. He's not a fucking Special Forcer.
No, special, but that's where they train all the Special Forces.
No, fucking firefighter is not a Special Force.
No, but his Special Force might be like a bunch of kids with their tongues hanging out.
Right, there's a fire. You call the fucking fire. You call the fire department when there's a fire. If you need to extract a bad guy from a fucking hill buried in a mountain, you call the Special Forces.
Yeah, but what if the guy buried in the mountain and the mountain was on fire? You need a fireman to get him out. You think the asshole that excavates a rock is going to know how to put out a fire? Fuck no.
I think you're sending a fucking Firebreaker Chip. He can't even get a win.
He doesn't need to get a win. All he needs to do is conquer the fire.
Yeah, he'd conquer this.
All right, nice. Left. We got Tony number one, Matt number four.
Yes.
We're going with Dudleyville.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I'm perfectly fine with that. As somebody who really didn't care for the Dudleys, I'm good there.
That's right. Fuck you, I forgot Devon. About that.
Come on.
Dudleyville. Snot dances with Chubby.
Fucking completely happy with that one. Fucking welcome to Dudleyville, motherfucker.
All right. So the list. Tony had the Dudleyville at number one, WCW Special Forces at number two, Truth or Consequences number three, Last House on the Left number four, and the Outer Reaches of Your Mind at number five. Matt had Truth or Consequences number one, Last House on the Left number two, Outer Reaches of Your Mind number three, Dudleyville number four, and WCW Special Forces sadly bringing up the rear at number five.
Oh no.
It's the way Matt likes it, right up the rear.
Double stuff up the rear. Week. Take it easy.
Bottom.
Brundo, another great blind ranking. Good job. We appreciate that. That was fun. Always fun. Always a quick, quick fun game and easy to edit and put on our YouTube page. We had put Tony's homework off last week because it was such a big WrestleMania week. So
yeah, we didn't want to Damian Dragon that shit. Which reminds me, that's coming from the coming this week on Patreon.
Friday, right?
Yep. You want to hear Matt get aggravated? $3, people.
Yeah, if you could tell me the timestamp when I decided I didn't want to do the show anymore that night.
It's a 2-hour fucking episode too with him in studio.
Some fucking Shining Wizard swag. So Tony's homework was pushed off to today. So we go back to Beyond Wrestling, right? 2019, I believe.
Yeah, I don't remember this.
Early 2019. I think.
For Pockets against Johnny Hungy. Tony, what was the genesis, the reasoning, why did you assign us this for homework?
I wanted to give the folks in the Discord a chance to give me some ideas to kind of maybe watch something that might not necessarily be in my wheelhouse. And good old Mike Peterson came up with this gem. And I promised whoever I selected, I would give their reason for actually recommending this to me.
Oh.
And Mike Peterson says, I love it because when you get through the comedy, there's a really good wrestling match in there. John Silver is an incredibly underrated worker. And I think I tend to agree with this one, because he fucking lays in some fucking clotheslines in this match. My God, they had murderous intentions behind them. And as much as I shit on Pockets in AEW, I wanted to get a chance to see the Orange Cassidy gimmick on the independents, where it was grown and where it came up and where it was developed and where it had its biggest following. When you see stuff like this in AEW, it's kind of like, ugh, we're really wasting TV time with stuff like this. But when you get a crowd at Beyond Wrestling and it's an independent crowd and they know who Johnny Silver is and they know who Orange Cassidy is, it could be the recipe for something really good and something really fun for the people that are there watching it live. And spoiler alert, I enjoyed Orange Cassidy versus Johnny Silver.
Man, I cannot fucking figure you out.
Never. It's exactly how I just explained it.
I know, but it's like, I don't know. What's the fucking difference? What does it matter if it's on fucking TV or it's in front of an independent crowd? Because people at AEW shows, they fucking chant when it's on slow motion. Whoa! And then the real slow. Holy shit. Holy shit.
That was the worst holy shit. Worst holy shit chant I've ever heard.
Oh, the one on this show?
Yeah. They couldn't get it right.
Man, I just don't.
Because the independent scene is made for like silly things that shouldn't be on TV. Like house shows are like, that's the place where you do silly things which shouldn't be on TV. That's where you get to work stuff out. You get to play up to the crowd, which is kind of what this is, playing up to the crowd. Like, I don't want to see this shit on TV. Like, if WWE had this shit on TV, I'd be like, what the fuck are we watching?
Danhausen is on TV every week, and that's fun.
Yeah, but Danhausen does a couple of silly things. He doesn't have a fucking 20-minute match. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but this, like, started with goofy shit, comedy spots, and then, like you said, it built up to something, and that's not to say that Orange Cassidy doesn't have these type of matches on TV where it starts off as comedy and then it's fucking 100 miles an hour.
This match also didn't have a lot of the, like, the flips, the extracurricular gaga, like, diving over the ropes, diving back in.
You couldn't dive over the ropes. You'd land on the fans.
I get it, but Orange Cassidy only did like one dive to the outside and like one, I think it was a drop kick off the top he went for, and that was about it. Everything else was in the ring. Everything else, like when they actually wrestled, was fast paced. I like that John Silver like eventually gave up with all the nonsense and went to the back and dressed up like Orange Cassidy. But it was silly shit like that. Like to me, like that will always belong on the independents, and it's a lot of fun. Like if I was there live, I would have been into that shit. You know?
Okay, but let me like why, but if people are reacting, why doesn't it have a place then on TV?
Yeah. If you're going to react to, if 100 fans react to it, then maybe 200, 500, 1,000, and so on and so forth.
Because I think TV wrestling should be taken a little more seriously. And I say that hesitating because I know there's silly stuff on TV. Both companies have silly stuff. And there's a place for all the silly stuff. But I just don't, to me, Orange Cassidy is made for the independent scene. Kind of like Joe Hendry was made for TNA. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, in TNA, he's a big star. You bring him up to WWE, he's just a fucking guy that turns around.
I don't know. Orange Cassidy had a pretty hell of a pretty great run when he was, I think it was like international champ or whatever that title was.
The Mimosa match. And
but like,
that was before the after the Mimosa.
I don't know. There's a place, like there was a place for the Bushwhackers. There's a place for Santino Marella. There's a place for Orange. Like,
yeah, but the Bushwhackers, when they got in the ring, they were serious wrestlers. They weren't licking each other. They weren't touching each other's pricks intentionally. You know what I'm saying? Like the Bushwhackers got in the ring. They had a fucking match. They weren't like fucking sticking their hands down their drawers. They weren't rubbing their assholes. Like they fucking wrestled. When they came to the ring, yeah, they licked heads. They had the march. Sure,
okay, Santino was fucking all comedy when he wrestled, though.
Santino wrestled seriously. He did the Cobra. The Cobra. That's one thing. He wasn't hands in the pockets.
Did you ever see him when he was, you know, throwing back and forth the way he ran on the ropes? He was a joke.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And there was nothing wrong with that because the fans went nuts for it.
Well, then maybe I just hate AEW. I don't know. I don't know how much I can explain it.
No, I get what I'm trying to get inside your head. I want to be there.
The outer reaches of Tony's mind.
Yeah, I kind of wish I could explain it better to you, but yeah. Like if I was here and like watching this match, I fucking enjoyed the shit out of it.
It took, I was not happy like the first 6 minutes in. I'm not even going to pretend.
Why, because of the sleeping and shit?
Oh my God. I was like, what the fuck?
But that's what they do. Like, I don't know if you remember, like when Orange Cassidy was like with Chikara and stuff, like fucking Jervis Cottonbelly would rock him to sleep and then put him down and shit like that.
And then this, I'm going to sound just like you now, Tony. That's Shakara.
Okay, but you see what right? I mean? Like, you see yeah. the difference?
I get it, but there's a reason why, like the orange, there's not like 100 Orange Cassidys, right? He's the only one who really broke through that glass ceiling, because I don't know what Jervis fucking Cotton Belly is doing, or Frantic, or anyone else from Shakara.
Frantic retired, bro.
Okay, I don't know. He was part of Shakara.
He came back to do your fucking birthday show, didn't he? Right at the anniversary show?
Wish he never did.
No, come on, dude. Fuck off. Francis rules. I love Francis.
Yeah, fuck him and his fucking aluminum foil hats.
You're just mad because he never fucking liked you.
Oh, it was the 700. Yeah, it was, I think it was episode 700 he came back for.
Yeah.
And then he was normal.
And he said for you, he said for you, Tony, I'll come back. He's like, I haven't wrestled in a while. I haven't done the deal, but for you, I will be there. And he did the deal, and it was awesome. It was quick. Boom, did the deal, in and out. Beautiful.
Yeah, if only fucking Miko Maestro would fucking learn the deal.
Well, he lives in the fucking Mariana Islands now, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He does. Let's see. Do I have it here? Yeah, here it is, Tony, just for you.
Oh, the fucking purification song.
Trying to put up with that guy.
Oh, top five guest for sure.
I do like that the match eventually, once we got through the fucking sleeping, the crowd, I hated the crowd so much. Oh my god.
But yeah, you love this shit when it's on AEW.
Not this shit. This was like the first 7 minutes of it was like the sleeping and the kicking and Johnny Silver's just running the ropes and fucking Orange Cassidy is just fucking flailing like a fish. Like,
and then he stopped and Johnny kept going.
There was a fucking Fight Forever chant. Like, I want to rip my TV off the fucking wall.
You didn't like when he stuck his hands down fucking Cassidy's pants?
Oh, I don't care.
Do you like the fans being that close too? I didn't like that.
It's beyond wrestling. That's
I know that's what Beyond did. Yeah.
I know, and it was like a bit. It was like a big deal. Like,
yeah,
9 years ago, whenever. But I don't know. Like, once the, to be fair, I will say once the match started going, I enjoyed it way more than like the fucking sleeping.
So how do you not enjoy this Orange Cassidy stuff here, but you love it on AEW?
I do. First of all, I do not love Orange Cassidy.
You don't like Orange Cassidy?
I'm not the biggest fan. There's a place for it.
So you don't? You think there's a place for it on national television?
There's a place. It's pro wrestling. There's a fucking place for everything, Tony.
When was the last time we saw the pizza cutter?
Tony, in our lifetime, right? We've seen the Kiss Demon. We've seen Big Josh with the Bears. We've seen four doinks, which weren't doinks. It was just men on a mission and fucking clown makeup. We've seen Triple H fuck a dead body. We've seen Orange Cassidy. Yeah, like, we've seen it all.
Wasn't a dead body.
What, Katie Vick was dead when he...
It was a mannequin, you fucking...
All right, but it
fucked your brains out.
Yeah. It was presented to us like he was fucking a corpse.
No, he was imitating Kane. It was parody.
Okay, like the Undertaker at the Royal Rumble where he ascends to the heavens. Like, we've seen some fucking ridiculous shit in wrestling.
He's Marty Jannetty. Yeah, we did. We shit on it then too.
I know, but if there's a place
for you love the Undertaker ascending into the fucking into the heavens, and he's a bad guy. Why would he go to heaven?
That's true.
Why would he go reverse fucking Rey Mysterio and go through the bottom of the fucking ramp instead of up the fucking wall?
I'm not the biggest Orange Cassidy guy. I think he's super athletic, but like, you know, whatever. I can't nip up with my hands in my pockets.
I'd like to see you nip up without your hands in your pockets. Did you notice he put the caveat on that, Brundo? Oh, I can't do it with my hands in my pockets.
I can't do a nip up either. Yeah, once it started going, it was great. You know, Johnny Hungy lays him in there like,
oh, it's good. God.
Johnny Hungy is like the greatest combo wrestler too. Like, when he gets going, it's just one thing after another, and it's all smooth and it has a good snap to it. I miss him being on TV you know, at all, basically, at this point.
Is he under contract still?
Yeah, I think they show up in Ring Honor sometimes.
Ring Honor.
All right. I dig it. Overall, I would give it a thumbs up. After we get through the goofiness at the beginning, it really picks up. It picks up steam. It's action. It's good. I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm with you. The second half gives me giving it a thumbs up for sure.
So, but you guys didn't like the first half?
It was fine. I think it was the fact that we've seen it so many times over the years. Yes. If I saw this in 2019, maybe I would like it more. But
yeah, what if you saw this match on Dynamite?
I think
if I saw it for the first time, I might enjoy it.
What if you saw it on Ring of Honor?
I would hate it.
Does the placement of the match make a difference?
Does the promotion? Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but that's kind of what I've been arguing. Like, it works for Beyond. Stuff like this in AEW, to me, it doesn't work.
To you, it doesn't work, but you're not the target audience of AEW.
Because I'm not a fucking jackaloon or whatever the fuck you call them.
Become a sicko, motherfucker.
Yeah, the sicko. The only sicko I'm sicko for is JCW. You see them fucking juggalettes I sent you guys?
I didn't look at it in the middle of the show.
Well, why not, bro? Brenda was fucking
saying interviewing fucking emojis. Again.
Well, we should have sent it to him too. I don't know if he'd be an accepting fella.
It probably looks better than the people in Tennessee.
He's fucking eating peaches with that mustache, isn't he?
Probably.
He's got it.
Millions of peaches.
Yeah.
What does Tennessee have? They're not peaches. What do they have?
Whiskey.
The Tennessee Hair Pies. It's a fucking sports team. It's like fucking single A baseball. The Tennessee Hair Pies. Who's turn? Oh, go ahead. Thumbs up for me, by the way. Streak continues. What do you got?
All right. I got three. So you guys want to pick a number between one and three?
Brundo, all yours.
Two.
Two.
That is a number between one and three.
Mama, let's get it.
It's not too late yet.
I gotta get the exact. I'm sorry. Give me 1 second. I just want to make sure.
Not even ready.
I should have picked five.
You just add them together.
I just want to make sure I have the right information.
You know what's funny? Our views have shot up significantly, and the chat just dropped dead. Maybe they're watching Raw. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But thank you all for continuing to stay with us on Monday nights.
Much appreciated. We appreciate it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. We're going back to August 5th, 1994.
Shitty WWE.
No, we're going to Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Oh, he loves him some Smoky.
Night of the Legends.
Oh, boy.
The Thrill Seekers, Chris Jericho and Lance Storm, take on the Heavenly Bodies in a street fight.
Oh, is this that match? Jericho?
It is that match.
Oh, man.
What, is this Broken Arm Jericho?
It is.
Oh, shit.
It is. So this, it's on YouTube. I will share it with the group. And that is your homework. We're going to go back to SMW. You spared yourself from going to Japan. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, that's too bad.
What, the other two were Japan?
One was.
Oh.
One was Japan, one was WCW.
Oh. All right. Just put him back on the list for later. That's all.
I dig it, Double T.
Yeah, I'm digging it too.
Yeah.
Dig it.
Don't forget, folks, we don't play the commercial. Well, we haven't played it in probably like a month or so now, but we do have a great network of shows. Part of the Shining Wizards Network. Please continue to support everybody associated with the show. Check everyone out.
I gotta pee. Can I go pee really fast while you do this?
Sure, why not?
Only if you leave the door open.
Dumping with the door. Look at this fucking chode.
His pants up. He's probably still got swamp ass from IHOP.
Fucking waddling to take a piss. Bro, he ordered the fucking traffic jam breakfast, whatever the fuck it is. Two of everything.
Oh, I've ordered that before, too.
Yeah, but two pancakes. I bet you he fucking rolled the pancakes. He gave himself pigs in blankets, rolled the sausage inside the pancakes. Sounds good.
But it's like everything there. It's like, you know, you get two pieces of bacon. It's like the end of the bacon or whatnot.
I had a dream when my cousin was in college at Rutgers. We used to go to the fucking grease trucks all the time, and everything was like the fat sandwiches. We were like, somebody's got to come up with a fat breakfast, just like all these fucking fillings inside like two pancakes or like a pancake roll. And sure enough, like 6 months later, McDonald's comes out with the McGriddles and fucking.
Dunkin' Donuts did too.
That's a tasty fucking sandwich. It's so bad for you, but it's so good. Like how they get the syrup inside the fucking little pancake sandwich.
Well, around the same time too, KFC did the. The double down sandwich.
You know what? In concept, it's not a bad idea, but in execution, it's fucking terrible. Because you're just holding two pieces of greasy chicken with cheese and bacon in between them, you know?
Oh, the KFC gimmick.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, the double down.
Yeah. All right. Is that what you guys are talking about? I don't want
to think of this. Well, it we made fun of you waddling to the men's room. So Brundo said you still had swamp ass from IHOP, and then it went into It went into a whole thing.
I told you about my foot problem. I got like a heel problem, so when I sit for a long time, it hurts to get up and put weight on it.
Fasciitis?
I don't know. I got fucking insoles for my fucking left shoe.
You should put them in both shoes. I'll tell you why. So you keep balance between the two.
Okay. That's another one.
Yeah, unless you need a boot. If you need a boot, you just put a boot on one foot. It is what it is. But if you got insoles, put them in both shoes.
Yes, Dad.
I'm telling you, man.
I appreciate it. If I'm going to listen to anyone, it's you because you are married to a podiatrist.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I know a thing or two about a thing or two. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you're into the foot stuff.
I'm into butt stuff too, but my wife's not a proctologist.
Feetfinder.com.
Oh, anybody's wife a dentist?
Anybody's wife a bro?
Have your balls recovered? I feel bad now that I called in the airstrike.
I mean, realistically, it was me because she can't hear you guys unless she's watching the show, so she probably heard me.
No, I called it in, bro.
Did you really? You motherfucker, you.
As soon as you said it, I picked up my phone. What did you think I was doing, ordering a fucking pizza?
I don't know what you're doing. You're usually tuned out for half the show anyway.
It's like the one time you texted Rhiannon and told her Matt's got his shirt off. She showed up 3 seconds later.
No, did I do that? I don't think I did that.
Yeah, you did.
I don't think I did. So
you
think it's in the cards for you to do a run in and punch Matthew in the balls? I use your name Matthew because she likes to call you Matthew.
Government name.
Her response was right now. I put sure, LOL. And she responded after the deed was done. I just put love you, ha ha ha. And she responded with a fucking shrugging emoji.
Yeah, you got AIDS.
Don't worry. Miss Brienne's coming in for a fucking groin strike for you, Brundo.
She tried to.
That'll be coming soon.
Yeah, I'm sure it will.
We got anything else?
Fuck you.
That's not very nice. Hey, old Almondhead must be fucking loaded on the beach somewhere.
He's a fucking sleep. What are you, out of your mind? You think he fucking stays up late on vacation? He stuck two carrots up his ass, a piece of celery in his mouth, and he fucking fell asleep with the window open so he could smell the fucking ocean.
I hope his wife went to town on his balls like a fucking speed bag, just beat the shit out of his nuts.
Yeah, well, this is Tony. Tune in next week to find out how Molly reacted to HK's Tony underwear.
That's right.
He said he was wearing it on this vacation.
I'm putting it out there now. I bet you he didn't do it. I bet you he didn't do it.
What are you shaking your fucking head for, Tony?
Because I know you, bro. I know you didn't do it.
50-50.
It was such a fucking mess, man.
It's like he never left.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Watch what you say to me. Sucking down some stallions.
sounds like
sucking off some stallions. Is that what
he's fucking whacking me with a dick?
All right, are we done? Can I pull up the fucking
curse?
Can somebody get rid of the fucking the thing?
Oh, okay. I'll see if I can do this.
And with that, let's cue the music.
I didn't get rid of it. Got it.
This has been a production of the Shining Wizards Network. For everything Shining Wizards, visit ShiningWizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
We'd like to thank those that support us at our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Executive producer Manny Crozzo, producers Kate Hensler, High Five Tom, Ryan Schlong, Al Day, Kathy Homer, Michael Hammond, Keith Parker, Jesse Elwell, Emily Crock, Mike Dunkbiscuit, and David Henry Bauer III.
Brundo, give it to us, brother.
Good night, Diana.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I almost had to reset the clock. Baby wants some titty.
She looks like Jabba's slut.
Double T's a real like ladies, man. Because
that ass was different than the ass that we saw previously.
I wonder if Rancho Loco makes enough money this week without HK being there.
She says she fucks my mom.
He could really be the only one keeping that place in business.
One in the stink. Just hammer home.
He probably has meals sent to his house when he's not there.
Oh, dude, that's probably all the luggage you took was just fucking frozen Rancho Loco.
Senor Kevin, you need a microwave?
You guys think you can recreate this for me? This is the most authentic Mexican food we have in Minnesota.
You guys got any Hondurans down here?
He fucking puts Molly in a fucking sombrero and a fucking mustache. He's serving his food.
Did you see that?
Your burrito, Senor Kevin.
He ain't ordering no fucking burrito, bro. He's getting quesadillas and veggie platters.
You need a veggie platter?
She might have a fish taco if he's lucky.
Oh, yeah?
Aren't we all that lucky?
I'm not going to go for a fish taco. Horny, got to go.